Welcome to the Bob Jones Football Pregame Show.
Are you ready for some football?
High school.
Football!
High school. Yeah!
Now your host, Arky Shea.
Welcome into the Bob Jones Pregame Show. My name is Arky Shea, your host for the next few minutes as we get set for a kickoff of tonight's Region 4 matchup between the Bob Jones Patriots, up to number 6 in the ASWA latest polls, taking on the Huntsville Panthers. Huntsville is 1-2 on the season, 1-1 in region play, and a formidable foe indeed. Last year, Bob Jones beat Huntsville 45-14. So while the Panthers are looking for a little bit of revenge, let's talk a little bit about the Bob Jones Patriots, who are looking to continue their hot streak to start the season. Despite the one loss to Austin, out of region play does not hurt them nearly as much, and still well within the driver's seat are the Bob Jones Patriots this season. The Patriots remain one of only two teams unbeaten in region play so far, along with Hewitt-Trussville, who has become a powerhouse this season. In fact, Hewitt-Trussville is the only team in Region 4 that is still unbeaten. That's right, every other team in Region 4 all has at least one loss. And thankfully for Bob Jones, they were able to give Sparkman their first loss of the season last week as the Bob Jones Patriots beat them 49-20. But it's still a long way to go as we were only in Week 5 of the season, and Bob Jones has a lot still on his plate, including the Panthers tonight. Last week against Sparkman, Bob Jones used a sensational second quarter to break through the dam of the Sparkman Senators, who had been riding a 4-game winning streak running into that game last week against Bob Jones. Bob Jones blocked 2 punts in that quarter, intercepted 2 passes, and they took a game that was close in the first, third, and fourth as far as time played, offense and defense, and turned it into a blowout victory for the Patriots. The Panthers are coming off a 14-point loss to Buckhorn last week in region play and are looking to reestablish their football feet as they lost to Decatur and Buckhorn by both double digits in their long win coming against the Grissom Tigers 67-14 just a couple weeks ago. They've had an extra day to get ready for this one as Buckhorn and Huntsville was on a Thursday night. So now it's time to see if Clint Woodfin, second-year head coach for the Huntsville Panthers, can make it count. It's Bob Jones. It's Huntsville tonight on The Ump. You're listening to the Bob Jones Pregame Show, brought to you by Stephen McDaniel at Keller Williams Realty in Huntsville. If you've got real estate questions, Stephen McDaniels has your answer. We all know there are lots of questions like how to get started with buying a home or even selling it. Do you even know how to show your home so you can get your home taken off the market and sold within the fastest amount of time? Stephen McDaniel can help that happen. Give him a call right now, 256-541-7145. If you don't believe me he can do it, just call him. Ask him the questions yourself. You've got the questions. He's got the answers guaranteed. Stephen McDaniel, 256-541-7145. We'll be back with Coach Kevin Rose on the Bob Jones Pregame Show, coming up right after these words on Sports Radio 730 The Ump and 103.9 FM.
Now back to Bob Jones Football on The Ump.
Welcome back into the Bob Jones Pregame Show, now here with head coach of the Bob Jones Patriots, Kevin Rose. Coach Rose, feeling pretty good right now, 3-1, another region victory over Sparkman last week. Got to be feeling pretty good. You guys are riding fairly high right now.
Well, I feel like we've made a lot of progress the last 2 weeks. You know, we just got to keep going in that direction, you know. You always want to guard against, you know, being complacent or, you know, thinking you've done something and now you can slack off a little bit, which is kind of what I think we experienced at Austin. You know, we had a big win against Dorman, a national game, and then, you know, the next week, you know, we decided to wait till halftime before we start playing, you know, and too little too late, you know. This week we play Huntsville, you know, who has struggled some early in the year, but, you know, Huntsville always plays us very tough. We've had, I think, 3 overtime games with them since 2008, and they beat us twice in the 2008 season. I was the offensive coordinator. They beat us in the regular season and again in the playoffs. And then we've beaten them two times since I've been here, I know, in overtime. So the games with them, you know, for the most part, have all been very competitive.
So Huntsville's not going to be a team that gets overlooked this week?
I don't think so, and I hope our kids are mature enough. You know, I told them this morning, I mean, don't think Huntsville's not coming over here to whip you. I mean, you know, it's not like they're going over here just to play a game. They're coming over here to beat Bob Jones and to put that feather in their hat, and you can't wait till, you know, halftime to realize you're in a fight and decide to play.
What's that mentality like, sort of trying to instill into the players that you're the alpha dog on the block right now? Was it seven straight Region A or chair of Region eight and now four championships, that that you're the guy that everybody's looking to knock off? You're the big boy on the block, and so you're going to get everyone's A game every single week, and you got to play like it.
All right, we're everybody's Super Bowl. You know, I told them this morning, you know, I mean, they've got your name circled in red, you know, from day one, you know, and what we got to focus on is being the best Bob Jones that we can be. If we play exactly the way we did last Friday night, we really hadn't gained anything. Even if we win, you know, we've got to improve in all three phases of the game. The object is to continue to improve, you know, as the year goes on, a little at a time, get 2% better every week. And if we do that, you know, at the end of the year, you feel like you put yourself in the best position to advance in the playoffs, which is obviously everybody's goal.
Before we get to Huntsville's game tonight, I want to ask a couple of questions about Sparkman last week. You know, there's one phrase that's been instilled in Bob Jones football for years, and that's frenzy. And even on Twitter, hashtag frenzy, getting the excitement going. You're always looking to sort of keep that frenzy going. You'll get a crack, and the next thing you know, you're breaking through. The epitome of that happened in the second quarter against Sparkman, in a game that was virtually even in the first, third, and fourth quarters. In the second quarter, you get Jay Hawthorne with a block punt return for a touchdown. Then there's the interception with Cade Kohler. And next thing you know, it's a huge lead at halftime, and there's that frenzy you're talking about.
Well, that's how we've always used that term, is we want to take a game that's, you know, going along at an even pace, and then all of a sudden have that one quarter where we score 28 points, where we block a punt, we intercept a pass, we hit a play-action deep ball, we, you know, bam on a trick play, and all of a sudden you've got a three-touchdown lead at halftime instead of it being a 7-7 ball game.
Can you sense that happening maybe after a big play or two that you're close to the dam being broken down, so to speak? Like, could you feel it after Jay blocked the punt, the first punt, returned it for a touchdown?
Well, I felt like when Jay blocked the punt, that's what started it, you know. And then we're fortunate to go down and get a big pick on the sideline, you know, and then we come down, and I thought we did a good job of using our timeouts there at the end of the half and forcing them to punt the football, and then we block it again, you know, and then we go down, and we don't just block it, but we go down and stick it in, you know. And, you know, those two or three plays were the difference in the football game.
You know, what's one of the big differences, too, for this team this season is noticing how in big moments the defense has made really big plays and really big stops, that sometimes you let a big player there go, but when it's important to bow down and bow up and sort of stop a team, you know, Mikael Stewart with the interception, Cade Kohler, as we just mentioned, Jay Hawthorne with the block, all these situations where, you know, you're talking about a Sparkman team last week that was driving in two of those interceptions, and you're able to stop them. I mean, they're able to get in key situations. Can you coach, like, just being aware in key situations, or are these guys just coaching, playing every single play?
I think you coach them to play every single down, and if you coach them to play every single down, there's going to be a crack in the down. There's going to be a mistake by the offense at some point, and if you're playing every single down, if you'll be ready instead of trying to get ready, then you'll make those plays. And that's what our defense has done. You know, they had some big fourth down stops and caused turnovers against James Clemens, and then, you know, takeaways again this week. You know, that's a term we use all the time. It's an everyday term. If you'll be ready, you won't have to get ready. We're not looking for the guys that when we call their name, they start putting their helmet on and start buckling. We're looking for the guys that got their headgear on, buckled up, ready to roll. When their name's called, they're sprinting on the field, ready to play, make a play.
A bit of a breakout game also for Demontrez Brown. You knew what kind of talent he is, 6'2", 190. He's a big target for Brady Polson, but able to get a couple of huge catches, like huge 50-yarder catches and a touchdown as well. How much does having a guy of that type of size at a position like that sort of become like an eraser for Brady Polson to be able to make big plays and be able to be more confident with his throws, even if it may be a little crowded?
Well, it looks good to see Demontrez making the progress he's made. You know, he's come a long way in the last year, and he's come a long way since this summer. You know, this summer he wasn't making those plays, especially early in 7-on-7 competitions. And then as we went on, he started making some of those plays. And then he started making a couple in ball games. Then he made a couple of big plays in the James Clemens game. And you can see his confidence growing each week, you know. And then last week, I thought he was a big fan. Easily could have been the player of the week. You know, we ended up going with Mac Reagan, you know, for offensive line, because I felt like we dominated the front, especially late in the game on the left side. But Demontrez, you know, that's a key target that can really help us win games down the road because of that size advantage.
You know, you're talking about dominating on the offensive line. It's one of those situations where this last week you were able to be fairly balanced, run it really well, dominate on the line, and throw for some big plays. But the week before, you were having to throw for under 300 yards to win. How much easier does it make your job as a coach and Coach Patterson's job as a coordinator to be able to know that if you need to win one way or the other, you have the weapons and the coaching to be able to do it?
Well, it makes you feel really good, and it makes you feel really good as an offense, as a play caller, you know, when you can call stretch left or you can call stretch right. You know, you don't have to call, you know, early Y move, Z post, H wheel. You know, you can just call, hey, stretch right, and you know you got a chance to go to the house, or you know you got a chance to go 10 or 15 consistently. You know, I think in the second half we probably ran, you know, to their left side. I think we had 26 snaps in the fourth quarter, maybe 26 rushes in the fourth quarter. I'd have to go back and look at it, but just consistently pounding the left side of their defense, and they weren't able to stop us.
And it was obviously a big factor. Mac Reagan was one of the big factors for that, too. That offensive line has had a great season so far, but I want to get ready for Huntsville tonight. Huntsville, as you said before, is a team that's not afraid to play Bob Jones, will play toe-to-toe with them. What worries you when you look at tape for Huntsville? What do you got to be on the lookout for tonight?
Well, I think we just got to stay away from their safeties making big plays. On defense, I think both of their safeties are good football players. We need to stay away from them. Offensively, we need to stay away from giving up the big play. We need to make them drive, you know, 8 or 10 plays to score. And as always, you know, the little things we go back to, you got to get off the field on third down. And on the flip side of that, on offense, you got to convert some third and fourth downs. And we've been good in those areas the last 2 weeks.
Did you think at this point this year, and maybe I know I didn't, that this late in the season that there's only two teams unbeaten in region play, and two teams, and one of those is Hewitt Trussville coming up, but you're looking at it in a region that we talk about all the time, it's so balanced that you know teams like Huntsville will be able to put up a fight and will be able to play hard. It makes this region so tough week in and week out, does it not?
Well, again, the higher you go in football, what changes is the level of play and the parity. You know, I coached 3A and 4A ball for years, and I know at Desher we won back-to-back state championships, and it might be the fourth round of the playoffs before we played somebody that could compete with us. You know what I'm saying? Here, it's every week. Every Friday night, you better bring your A game, especially when you're Bob Jones, because like I said, you know, everybody's got you circled on the calendar. Everybody's putting 10 extra hours in when they play you. You got to be ready to play every week, and hopefully our guys learned that lesson at Austin, and we'll come out Friday night with a good performance.
Coach, what's your pregame routine like? Do you like to listen to any music? Do you sort of listen to any, maybe read any books? Do you study over more film, just look at plays? What do you do?
Day of the game, you know, I've done all my film work. I've, you know, at some point during the day, I'll go through some inspirational, motivational books or tapes and come up with what I'm going to say to the team pre-game and what I'm going to say to them at halftime, you know, based on the circumstances. And, you know, but as it gets closer to game time, you know, I'm kind of separate myself a little bit. I need a little bit of alone time just so I can get my thoughts together. You know, I'm not a big rah-rah or, you know, or listening to all this crap. I like to walk the field before the game, pregame. I like to kind of be with my own thoughts leading up to kickoff and then start competing at that time. But everybody's got a different way of getting ready. That's just kind of my personality.
Is there anything on your phone or in your iPod or whatever you listen to that's anything similar to what your kids are listening to?
Absolutely not.
Coach Rose, best of luck tonight. Good luck. Can't wait to call it. And hopefully next time we're talking this week, we'll have another W on the schedule.
Thanks, Arky.
Thank you.
Now, let's join the booth live with Archie Shea and Seth Hagen.
Welcome in live to Madison City School Stadium, where the Bob Jones Patriots, number 6 in ASWA, that's the Alabama Sports Writers Association poll, are getting ready to take on another region opponent. The Huntsville Crimson Panthers have made the trip down to Madison, I should say over from Madison, to take on the Patriots. It's going to be a fun one tonight, an interesting one, already some pregame storylines to talk about already, but it is going to be a matchup between a team of Bob Jones who has won 7 straight against Huntsville. And I know we talk about Bob Jones being able to be close with Huntsville all the time. Recently, it hasn't really been the case. The last couple of games winning by 31 and by 21 points. But Huntsville is not a team that is very afraid of Bob Jones right now. And as Coach Rose talked about in the pregame show, when you're on the schedule as Bob Jones from here until the rest of Coach Rose's senior and maybe beyond, you're the circled game. Archie Shea here, Seth Hagen over there. Seth, talk about, just for a few moments, the excitement for Huntsville High School to be able to come in, even though they lost last week to Buckhorn, knowing that Bob Jones is on the schedule, and they can put a major damper into Bob Jones' season right now tonight.
Yeah, this is a game that teams circle every single year. Guys, that this is just a team that you get pumped for. Bob Jones is that team here in North Alabama, and whenever you see them on the schedule, you put your best game together and you put your best foot forward, because you're not going to get a bigger stage than this one to really show what you got.
You're not. We're going to take a quick time out here on the pregame show brought to you by Stephen McDaniels of Keller Williams Realty. Quick time out, come back, get you ready for the starting lineups and kickoff here from Madison City School Stadium as the Patriots and Panthers get ready to kick. You're listening to the Bob Jones Patriots exclusively on The Ump, brought to you by Tennessee Valley Fence. You'll love us around your place.
Back to the booth we go with Archie Shea and Seth Hagen. Bob Jones football is on The Ump.
Welcome back live here to Madison City School Stadium. Just a few minutes from kick as we get set for the opening coin toss here from Madison City School Stadium, where the Patriots and Panthers get set to play in a Region 4 matchup and a big one for both teams. Huntsville coming off a loss last week to Buckhorn. Last week at home, Bob Jones the winner on the road at Sparkman in a big way. And Seth, this is a battle for Bob Jones of a game where you try to just keep it between the lines. Yeah. Bob Jones is a better team. They've been a better program the last few years. They have dominated this series as of late, even though they only lead the series 14-13. But right now, you're talking about keeping it between the lines, knowing that Brady Polson can get you a whole bunch of yards through the air. Brad Anderson and Isaiah Hatchett and Jalen Williams can do the work on the ground. And let the offensive line eat some lunch tonight and let the defense do some dinner.
Yeah, absolutely. Continued improvement for Brady Polson is absolutely necessary in this game. You just want to see him continue to improve. But in this game, you really got to let the running backs do the work. Concentrate on the running game to set up the pass. Huntsville's safeties are very dangerous, as is their entire secondary. They've almost forced 10 turnovers on the season combined. But here's the thing. Two opponents already this year have gone for 200 yards plus running on the ground against Huntsville. So this is a game where we need to let our running backs get the most of it, get the brunt of the work, and also get Brad Anderson back into this offense, because we need our top playmaker.
I do need that, as the toss has been conducted. We'll give you that result in a minute. Bob Jones averaging 178 yards per game on the ground, which will be key for them. Huntsville has won the toss, and they will elect to receive to start, which is a little different for Bob Jones. Not used to starting on the defensive front, as Huntsville, their captains were Keashius Locklear, number 8, number 12, Nathan Shell,
Number 32, Elijah Thomas, who is just in his jersey, not dressed out tonight. And number 44, Connor Prince. As for Bob Jones, Brady Polson, Brad Anderson. Number 8, A.J. Harris. And, of course, for the Patriots, number 61, Tucker Walters, who has moved from center to right guard this season. So for the Patriots, it's about keeping it between the lines. For Huntsville, it's about trying to be able to create some type of offense. They will be without their starting quarterback tonight. Twin brother of who we saw last two weeks ago, Jackson Nowlin, is out tonight. His brother Matthew Nowlin is actually out tonight for the Huntsville Panthers, and they're going to be relying on a young kid named Jackson Glover, just a sophomore, very inexperienced. Seth.
Yeah, he's a kid that has gotten some play towards the end of the game of these first few games that they played, and That'll end up being a big thing for him just in this game, keeping his head level, because he's going against a top-notch secondary in Bob Jones.
Bob Jones with that top-notch secondary that includes the likes of A.J. Harris, who is the Alabama commit. A guy who has come on like gangbusters this season, Jay Hawthorne, at the free safety position. You know, Coach Rose called him perhaps the best at the position he's ever coached, and especially to come through Bob Jones as far as playing the alley and being able to get to the ball and make plays. And it's such a big deal for Bob Jones to be able to be so secure in the defensive backfield, not to mention Mikael Stewart back there, who's already got a couple interceptions this season. A.J. Harris, as we mentioned, it's a formidable secondary. It'll make life tough on the sophomore from Huntsville.
Yeah, I would really like to lean on our secondary and give our front seven a chance to force this backup quarterback into some tough situations. Bob Jones has been very good this year in forcing the opposing offense into a third and long situation, and it's paid dividends, gotten a few turnovers, and it's really changed the scope of this game. All you need to do is look at last week. Those couple of block punts changed the whole scope of the game.
They really did, and it's about that frenzy that Coach Rose always talks about. Poke, 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 poke at the wall, and eventually through that dam, you will break through. And when it ends, it's an onslaught. And that's what ended up happening the second quarter last week against Sparkman. Looking to hopefully have something like that on the Bob Jones side tonight. But first, they'll have to kick it off to the Huntsville Panthers. Huntsville, kickoff return, DeMario Patton, number 1, Zach Strange, number 7, and Jordan Thompson, number 23, the latter two juniors, as they will be receiving from our left, Bob Jones, in the red tops, white bottoms, white lids with the BJ logo and insignia on the side, white numerals encased in black, setting up on the near hash mark for the Bob Jones Patriots is number 47, Ian Krawowski, sets up at the 40 as we get ready for the opening kick of tonight's matchup between Bob Jones and Huntsville. Whistle is down, and we are ready to play. Krawowski approaches. This one is kicked deep down the left hash mark, and it is into the end zone for a touchback. As Coach something Ken Ricketts has talked about this season, being able to get that extra couple of yards after suffering from a little bit of an ankle injury. He's a multi-sport star, is Krawowski, soccer being his other sport. So being able to get over that ankle injury and focus on some football, get a few extra yards, and now make it tougher as they start at the 20.
Yeah, I always like to kick it as far as possible. You never know what can happen when guys are bringing the ball back. We trust our team, but why leave it to chance? Huntsville is not without playmakers on the outside.
And they will start with their quarterback, who is the young Jackson Glover, who gets set with Strange in the backfield. And the shotgun formation, two receivers left, one to the right, quick fake handoff, rolls near side on the bootleg, incomplete. He was looking for number 88, Will Cooper, the senior tight end, unable to get that one, and it'll be second down and 10.
That was a good play right there. Had Bob Jones fooled, everybody went left, spins around, goes right. Had Cooper wide open, just dropped it.
Zach Strange was the starting tailback there, and now it will not be Zach Strange in the formation. Instead, with three tailbacks lined up, a little bit of a wing look. Quick handoff goes to the 24, and that'll be bottled up at the 24, as that's number 22, Martavius Burt, getting a carry. Going over the right side, give him to the 23, at a gain of three.
Martavius Bird actually has not registered a carry at all. So I'll let you know, Coach likes to keep multiple guys in this offense. Guys like DeMario Patton pull double duty on wide receiver and at running back.
Third down and a long seven as Strange comes back in as the tailback. Zach Strange in the lone tailback in the pistol formation. Three receivers to the left, one to the right. Mikhail Stewart coming up with press coverage here on the near side. Now Strange goes to the right of his quarterback. Glover looks, throws over the middle. It's caught at the 30, moves upfield to the 35, to the 40-yard line. Finally broken down at the 40-yard line, but not before a gain of 13 or 16, I should say. That goes back to who we were looking for earlier, number 88, Will Cooper, first down.
Yeah, he had an easy drop earlier, so good job by him. Make the easy catch again in the middle of the field for the first down.
So first down and 10 at the 40-yard line. Quick handoff to Strange. Makes a guy miss in the backfield. Gets to the 42, maybe to the 43, or he's wrapped up there. Gain of about two we'll give him.
It's a good job by Talik Curtin. He caved in the whole left side of that line. Really forced everybody towards the middle. Stopped potentially a big gain by the running back.
We'll be second down and 8 for the Panthers. Near side comes Juwan Phillips as the lone receiver near side. One man comes in motion. They'll stack him far side, and they'll give it up to him. Up to the 40, 42. Back to the line of scrimmage, maybe to a yard. Looking for DeMario Patton, the junior. Good job defensively by the Patriots to bottle him up there. Makes third down and long.
Really liking the way the Bob Jones is game tackling so far in this game. If only let one big play happen, that was the one that hurt him. But so far, sure tackling right up the middle and on the sides.
So third down and about 7 for the Panthers again, looking to convert from their own 43, going from the left to the right on your radio dial. Three receivers to the left, including number 23, Jordan Thompson, and Juwan Phillips here on the near side. Glover, shotgun formation, looks, fires near side quickly. It has gotten back in the backfield to the 38, looking for space, but the Patriots are all over it and tackled out of bounds by the Patriots. They were looking for and got Jordan Thompson, but Jordan Thompson is going to get all the way back to the 38. That's a loss of 5 and a big-time stop for the Patriots.
Once again, they try to put it on the outside. And once again, Bob Jones coming in with three guys surrounding the ball. I'm loving it so far. They're keeping the big play off the board.
Fourth and 13. It'll be time for the Patriots to receive. Sam Barnes is back. The punt is for the Panthers is number 84. In fact, this will be a short kick to the 35 to 37. Bounces back to the 38 before it is down at the 38-yard line. And that's where the Patriots will start. Number 84 with the punt was Jackson Bruno, the junior. A short kick there, and the Patriots will start at their own 38-yard line.
What I really liked about that last play is you can tell Bob Jones, with last week's success on special teams blocking those punts, they're really coming after these kicks. And this may be something that we'll see throughout the rest of the year.
Polson comes up as the tailback in shotgun, as we see 99.99% of the time. Quick stretch to the right side to Jalen Williams. He cuts up the middle to the 43 before he's upended. A gain of about 5 for Jalen before he ends up being, looked like he almost hit on the hip of Tucker Walters over there. That was close. Maybe he got on the side of Ethan Ganoush, the Grissom transfer. It'll be second down and about 5.
Jalen Williams and Isaiah Hatchett combined for over 130 yards and 3 touchdowns last week. Like to see them get going again.
Well, stretch near side, but cut up the field by the Patriots, and that's Isaiah Hatchett, who comes in for another 2 to the 47-yard line. Hatchett getting some big play opportunity and big play work last week. And so for the Patriots, it will be third down and to short 2. Two receivers to the left, one to the right, two tailbacks to the either side of Polson. Big handoff goes to William. Wants a cut wide. He had to get away from a man in the backfield. Can't get away from the second man. As great pressure put up the middle. Looked like starting the pressure was number 5, Tyler Battle. But with the tackle, number 49, Teddy Graffio, the junior linebacker, gets a loss of about 6. And now the Patriots will have to punt.
Yeah, way too many guys got out there. Good job by Jalen trying to extend the play to the outside. Almost got away from the tackler, but it was just a little too much pressure. The right side has to do a better job of protecting that edge.
DeMario Patton back to return for the Panthers, who are wearing their road white tops, white bottoms. Blue stripes on the side, blue numbers encased in maroon. A metallic H on the side of the helmet. His punt's high and caught by Patton. He tries to go up the middle, gets around a couple of defenders before he gets to the 35-yard line for Patton. That'll be a gain of about 7 on the return, and it'll be first down for the Panthers. 7:37 on the clock here in the first quarter of play as both teams have traded punts. And the Patriots look to come back out defensively. It looked like Bob Jones offensively last series. We're trying to get it a little vanilla, trying to go stretch left or stretch right, stretch left, stretch right. We're going to have to be a little more creative than that tonight. Back in the backfield, a quick handoff from Glover. Gets to the from the 35 to the 39-yard line. That's a 4-yard pickup for Martavius Burt, again, the junior. Second down and 7. Set back up at the 38. Coming to the right side again. Burt is again to the 45, to the 50. Inside Bob Jones territory to the 48-yard line. Tough, tough running there. And that's a gain of 14 for Burt again. Great hustle play there for the young man.
Looked like he was going to get started there, but strong running right there. Running behind his offensive line, good patience, and able to shrug off a couple of tacklers for a big game.
Glover comes back in as a tailback. Excuse me, it's a quarterback with two tailbacks beside him. A zone read, he'll keep it, try to go up the middle. He'll have to slide it. The Patriots read all of that one. He gets about to the line of scrimmage as the captain read the wrong defensive end. And unfortunately for Huntsville and Glover, there was nothing there for him.
DJ Butler and Kay Kohler in there. Kay already with a couple tackles tonight. He's doing a good job, and we're going to need a top performance from our linebackers. Looks like Huntsville is going to try to push their agenda on the ground.
Burt puts Kiashas Locklear as the lone receiver near side. But handoff goes to Burt, tries to go to the right side, gets to the 45, rolled around to the 43-yard line. Give him a carry of 5 on that one in Bob Jones' territory. Make a third down and a little more manageable for the Panthers.
They're slowly moving the ball, and you got to stay with it. This protects your backup quarterback, keeps him, he doesn't have to make as many decisions, and that's what you want for your backup. Just keep the game close and play it safe.
Clock shows 5:44 and counting here in the first quarter. No score from Madison as the Patriots are taking on the Crimson Panthers of Huntsville. Got the sophomore quarterback in, doing a lot of work from his tailback spot. Ooh. Tackled in the backfield. Huge tackle. Back to the 45-yard line as they try to go to Burt again. He loses a couple.
Jayshon Holly already with 3 tackles in this game. He came through like a whirlwind. Whipped that running back around. That's what I like to see.
We'll go to the heat timeout here as we're about halfway through quarter number 1, 5:24 on the clock. So we'll take a break with them. When we come back, we'll get you ready for the second half of the first quarter as the Bob Jones Patriots and the Huntsville Crimson Panthers are tied at 0. You're listening to the Patriots exclusively on WMP, brought to you by Tennessee Valley Fence. You'll love us around your place.
Back to live coverage of Bob Jones football on the Ump.
Back live here at Madison City School Stadium, and set so far from the Huntsville Panthers, we've seen a whole lot of 22, and it's been a tough road to hoe for both teams offensively for the Panthers as they have to punt here on fourth down.
Both teams are looking to run, and both teams are loading up to stop it, so something's got to give in the next couple drives.
Setting up the punt, they switch the formation. Here comes the punt now again for number 84, who is Jackson Bruno, and this one bounces into the end zone for a touchback. So Bruno able to avoid the short punt from last time around to get the 45-yard kicker on there. 25 yards on the net, but they'll take it if you get the Patriots to start at the 20 as opposed to their own 40.
You mentioned Bob Jones came out a little vanilla. Like to see him change that up and get their playmakers involved on the outside.
So the Patriots will come out with two receivers lined up, one to the left, one to the right. Demontrez Brown lined up here on the near side as a tight end. It's a big body who's a good tackler, too. Paulson, quick handoff, wants to stretch it to the left. Again, Jalen Williams pushes upfield to the 29-yard line before he's wrapped up. A 9-yard gain for Jalen Williams, and the Patriots are in good shape for second down.
It looks like they actually got that first down. All right, so first down for the Patriots. Nice. Right off the bat, Jalen Williams stretching it to the left.
Well, they got him right to the 30 on top of the chalk, so that'll work for me. First down and 10 from the 30. Three receivers set to the right. One tailback is Hatchett this time. Fake the hatchet. Polson looks, fires deep down the middle of the field, looking for Sam Barnes, overthrown to the middle of the field. He had gotten past his defender, Kiashus Locklear, the senior defensive back, did Sam Barnes. And Sam Barnes has had a pretty decent season receiving this season. Sam Barnes had a couple of touchdowns as well, and it's just outside the speedy receiver's hands. It'll be second down and 10, but a good shot taken there for the Patriots.
I like to see him get past his defender right off the bat. He's going to wear on him as the game goes on.
Quick handoff to Williams, goes up the middle again. Give him about one, maybe two, as he falls forward to the 33 now. They'll give him, so they'll give him three as he's bottled up immediately. Just no room up the middle. Nice job by that Crimson Panther defensive line to make it third down and 7.
Yeah, that's amazing. They actually turned 1 yard into three right there. Gotta love our offensive line. Such a great group of guys to fall back on.
So it'll be third down and about 7 for the Patriots, looking to convert on their first third down of the night. Three receivers to the right, one to the left, one tail back. Paulson looks back in, gets the call. Clock shows 4 minutes here in quarter number one, no score. Hatchett now goes up to the right of his quarterback, Paulson. Snap comes. Paulson spins it, looks near side, going for Demontrez Brown. Got a little room for it, just outside the hands of Demontrez Brown. Again, giving chase was Andrew Jansen, another great defensive back for the Huntsville Panthers. But again, the Bob Jones Patriots having opportunities there. And also looked like Demontrez may have gotten a little bit of the Gator arms.
Yeah, I really would like to see Demontrez Brown in more plays. But I did like that drive right there, even though we didn't get the first down. Brady Polson's looking to take big shots downfield, and he's been pretty accurate this whole year.
Patriots punt again. This one is deep and back to the 27-yard line, and fair catch by Kiashus Locklear. Another great job by John Riley, the sophomore punter and backup quarterback for the Patriots. So the Panthers will go back on offense again, and it's a nice job so far by Huntsville to sort of try to ease their young quarterback into it. Jackson Glover just 9 of 20 for 128 yards and a touchdown, but as noted, a bunch of that came last in their last win against Grissom, and we know the struggles Grissom has had this season.
Yeah, it's a tough road for them. But Jack and Glover, so far, poised back there. I like it.
Glover with a kick, quick handoff to go to the right side, left side, and is bottled up back to the 27-yard line. May have lost a yard there, and it looks like that they did, as this time it was a carry by number 11, Stanley Pettis Green.
Kate Cole there with the tackle.
Stoney Patton.
Yeah, Stoney Patton's one of the running backs in this system. He almost has 100 yards on the season, but coach likes to really switch up guys. Zach Strange, Stoney Patton, DeMario Patton. You could see any one of those guys at any time.
Three receivers to the left, none to the right. One tailback stays Patton. Clock under 3 minutes to go. No score. Low snap given to Patton. He gets past the 31-yard line. A gain of 4 for Patton. It'll be now third down, a little more manageable for the sophomore quarterback.
There's Lewis Williams. He got the tackle on that play. Another linebacker. Already our linebackers with 9 combined tackles. We were talking before the game, and that's what I really like to see. When your linebackers are getting the most tackles, you know your defense is doing a great job.
The officials are forcing A.J. Harris to come out of the game for at least a play. Looks like it's an equipment issue. Maybe his knee pads were rolled up above his knee because he's adjusting those right now. So it'll be third down and 6 as the Patriots regroup. Two receivers left, one to the right. High snap. Glover rolling under pressure, incomplete. Under pressure big time for Jackson Glover, and he tries to find the outlet man, and Zach Strange. But a nice job by the Patriots to force a lot of pressure early in that drive and early on that third down attempt.
A lot of guys beat their matchup on that one. Tilly Kirtan, one of them. Gavin Lewis on the other side, really forcing that quarterback right. And that's what I was talking about earlier. Force that quarterback into tough situations. There, could not make the pass.
Carden is on to punt for Huntsville. A high punt. Fair catch call for by Sam Barnes. It is muffed. Does he recover it? Looks like he does. Back to the 20-yard line. That's about a 10-yard loss of field position. As he muffs that one. Now, if the Huntsville had recovered it, it cannot be returned. But regardless, Patriots do lose about 8 yards of field position on that one. Now they're back to their own 22.
Sam Starnes is a really good player. Pardon me, Sam Barnes is a really good guy on this play. On this team, and he knows he messed up on that play. He almost caught a touchdown pass on that last drive. I'd like to see him get back with this one.
Three right, one left. Your receiver set straight up the middle. Goes Jalen Williams to the 25. Mosor to the 27-yard line. A big carry for Jalen Williams, 5 yards. He had 17 carries and 90 yards and a touchdown last week against Sparkman. Expect him to continue the heavy dose of the football. Good catch, good carry. Second down and 5 as the Patriots put three receivers to the right, one to the left again, one on one coverage. Looks like it's shaded near side for Demontrez Brown. Quick throw to the far sideline for the Bob Jones Patriots. Caught, moved up to the 31-yard line, just short of the first down marker as on the catch. Trying to get the jersey number on that one.
I think it's Cameron Cabo Williams on the catch. It's number 20, yep.
Yeah, Cameron Cabo Williams, nice catch for him. So a gain of about 4. And it will be the first completion for Brady Paulson tonight. Third down and 1 for the Patriots at their own 31-yard line. Just need a yard. Two receivers left, two to the right. Quick stretch play to the left side. They're looking to Isaiah Hatchett. Gets to the 35, to the 40. He's got more. To the 50, to the 45, to the 35, to the 30 before he's pushed out of bounds. Given chase. There's a flag on the field back near the line of scrimmage. Isaiah Hatchett got a whole bunch on that one, but there is a flag. Because it, as it stands, it's a 37-yard carry for Isaiah Hatchett. We'll see what the penalty is. Well, that's not in the place you would like it, especially since Bob Jones is walking it back.
I was just about to compliment the left side of our offensive line. Jalen was not touched until about 25 yards down the field, so they completely sealed that left side. But they may have done it illegally.
Holding is the call. They threw the flag at the 35, so they'll put that back at the 25-yard line, which means it'll be third down and about 7, maybe 8, to go for the Patriots. 52 seconds to go in quarter number 1. The score is knotted up at 0. Both teams a little sluggish, especially the Patriots. Looks like they're trying to coast right now through this one. They're going to do a little bit more than that against Huntsville. Two receivers left, two to the right, and Paulson is your quarterback with Jalen Williams now as the tailback. Clock will start on the snap. Paulson look back to the sideline to Matt Patterson, the offensive coordinator, for the play call. Paulson gets the snap, looks, throws over the middle. It is too high for Makai Stewart. A little too high. Decent coverage there for Huntsville, but just overthrown, and it's incomplete. It'll be fourth down again for the Patriots.
Yeah, the defender was draped all over Makai. Good job right there, but Paulson, he's really overthrowing here, and I hate to see him lapse back into that because he was really becoming very consistent on his throwing early on in the season. He was putting way too much air up under the ball, and here it goes again.
Key actions Locklear back to return. John Riley on to punt. Riley punts this one. The left-footed punt is two bounces at the 40 and rolls to inside the 30, inside the 25, to the 24-yard line. Thanks to the roll, that's an extra 16 yards thanks to the roll. And it'll be good position for the Bob Jones defense to be put in. Yeah, so not a fast start for either one of these teams so far, Seth, as Huntsville is sticking around in games. And this is one of those situations, you see it all the time when you watch football. The more you let a team that you're better than stick around, the more confidence they get. Next thing you know, it's late third quarter, early fourth quarter, and you're in a ball game maybe you shouldn't have been in.
Yeah, this is a team that, but we talked about it before, they believe they can win this game, and they're bringing their best in this game against the top team in the region.
In around handoff comes from the sophomore quarterback Glover to number one, DeMario Patton. He gets to the 25-yard line. That's a gain of about one. So good job defensively to spread that one out. It'll be second down and long as the game clock shows under 15 seconds. We'll see if the Panthers try to run another play. I'd be surprised if they did. They're being very patient looking over to the sideline to get a play. We're 7 seconds, now 6 and 5. That looks like that'll be in the first quarter. And that will do it for quarter number one. So a sluggish start for the Patriots and a very safe start for the Huntsville Panthers as we get set for quarter number two here from Madison City School Stadiums. It's Bob Jones 0, Huntsville 0. You're listening to the Bob Jones Patriots exclusively on WUMP. Brought to you by Tennessee Valley Fence. You'll love us around your place.
Now back to Bob Jones football on the Ump.
Back live at Madison City Schools Stadium. Thank you so much for listening in on WUMP on 7:30 a.m., 103.9 FM, or the UMP app. Just search for UMP Sports if you'd like to be able to carry that, especially a couple of big road games coming up for Bob Jones later in the season, including Hewitt Trustville, some longer matchups that you may not be able to make the road trip for, and also online at umpsports.com. You can follow myself on Twitter if you want any shout-outs, any thoughts throughout the game. We're glad to do that. It's a family. It's a community here for Bob Jones football. It's at Arky Shea, A-R-K-Y-S-H-E-A. And Seth Hagan, you can be found at
O-T-S underscore Hagan, H-A-G-A-N. You can find me there. And I tweet often, but my Facebook posts also go through my Twitter, so it makes me look like I tweet more. And that's how I pump up my stats.
That's how we do it here. That's how we fluff up the stats here. After quarter number one, a slow start to both teams at the Panthers. Still feel pretty good about where they are at, that they have a new quarterback in for the game. It is Jackson Glover as the starter. Matthew Nowlin is out with a concussion. Handoff goes up the middle to the 29-yard line, it looks like. That's 29, yeah, 3-yard carry to the 29-yard line for the Panthers. Will make it third down and reasonable as that one goes to Zach Strange.
Good job once again by the defense forcing this backup quarterback into a tough situation. Third and plus five. If we can keep this going all night, I feel very good about our chances.
Third down and six for the Panthers. Two receivers to the top, one to the bottom, all by himself to the near side. Rolling out, throwing it out of bounds as more pressure applied by the Patriots. And it looked like applying that pressure was that David Foster over
yep,
there?
94.
David Foster
well
putting
done.
Good pressure on that left side of the defensive line. So nice job by him, and the Patriots will force, it looks like, another punt. There is a flag thrown back to the line of scrimmage, back where the quarterback was thrown, was hit. Could that have been a late hit? It could be a late hit. Although it looked fairly good. It's a roughing the passer. Very interesting call. He did get the ball out of bounds and out of his hand in time to Jackson Glover, but I did not think the hit was that late.
They're talking to Gavin Lewis, and that's interesting. Looks like...
Oh, sorry, it's intentional grounding. It's intentional
okay.
grounding.
Okay.
I got confused with my call, so that makes more sense because he was trying to get away from pressure. The ball did not get past the line of scrimmage, so that makes a lot more sense.
To be fair, it looked a lot like a chop block call. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where, like, he just kind of shifts his hands to the right. But hey, good thing for Bob Jones. This is something that they have to take advantage of. This is the longest situation this backup quarterback has been in, possibly in his entire career.
It'll be fourth down at about 22, though, but they're back at the 5-yard line, which is more important for Jackson Bruno. Again, the Patriots blocked two last week. Return one for a touchdown did Jay Hawthorne. He is up there looking to rush again. Max protection here on the offensive line. Patriots could be close, and they won't get it. As the punt is returned by A.J. Harris, near side to the 30, the 25 to the 20, some space to the 10, cuts inside the 5, touchdown. Touchdown, A.J. Harris. There is a flag in the end zone. There could be a holding back in the end zone. The punter was not on the ground. I did not see at all, and they're going to call running into the kicker. Wow, running into the kicker.
That's surprising because
Bruno was not on the ground at all, and it looked like he may have barely been hit, if anything. But wow, touchdown wiped off the board there for the Bob Jones Patriots.
And it looks like Huntsville is going to survive just a little bit longer because that's a huge momentum play.
It is. I'm surprised at the call, again, I was surprised at the last call too. Because it looked like the pass was close in line of scrimmage for Jackson Glover. So they'll have fourth down again, this time at the 10-yard line, and I'd be surprised if the Patriots don't try to attack this one again, as Bruno is back about 5 yards deep in his own end zone now. A.J. Harris is back there after only running about 38 yards for the return last time. Hawthorne chomping at the bit. He's getting blocked. This one is over the middle of the field to the 35. It's bound to the 40. To the 44-yard line, that's where it will stop. This flag is on the line of scrimmage this time, thrown to the line of scrimmage, so it won't be a running into the kicker or a roughing the kicker. It was thrown by the near judge as the clock shows 10:53 to go here in quarter number two. Still no score. If the ball stands where it is now, which it does not look like, the Patriots will have it at the 44 of Huntsville.
What I'm wondering here is, will it be tacked on if it is, in fact, on Huntsville?
Patriots are looking like they're sending out the defense again, but this time it is called on the Panthers. So some of these guys will come back. Maybe they'll force them to punt it again, and why not? Why not force them to punt it one more time? They may not even be allowed to decline that penalty. So A.J. Harris will come back out to return another one.
Going to get a third chance at this, and this is something that you got to take advantage of. Once again, if you're Bob Jones, you know you've come so close in the last couple of plays to blocking that kick.
I did not see the actual call. It was not a false start. It could have been a formation issue there, but I did not see the actual call. I guess because it hasn't come until now. It's holding. It's holding. So half the distance to the goal to the 5-yard line, and they'll be back where they were just a minute ago. I don't think I've ever called three consecutive punt attempts. We'll see what the result is here as A.J. Harris stands at the 40-yard line of the Panthers. Back to try it again is Jackson Bruno. Boy, I think if you're a punt team, you do not want to have to punt it three different times to cover with the athletes that
once again
has. Another flag is on the field. That looks like it's going to be a false start on the Panthers. And this may not be the frenzy that Coach Rose has used to talk about for the Patriots, but they have been stuck in this deep, I would say, opposite red zone for a long time.
So we're going to do this a fourth time.
Well, so that was actually called back to the 2.5-yard line for a false start. So max protection in again, as the Panthers know all about number 43 blocking a couple last week. And A.J. Harris moves up inside the 40 this time. Bruno, let's try again. The Panthers set for the snap. Gets the snap. Right foot kick is off and good. A.J. Harris having to run backwards to the 40, to the 45, sideways to the 44-yard line, which is where it will stop. So all in all, you're talking about a 42-yard punt at the end of all of that. It took about 12 minutes, it felt like.
Hey, Bruno Jackson had a really good job. I mean, that was the best-case scenario right there. And I mean, he had four tries, so it's well done.
he's now loose and ready to go. 10:40 on the clock as the Patriots will set up at the 44-yard line of the Panthers, tied at 0. Two receivers to the left, two to the right, One tailback is Jalen Williams.
This is a really crucial drive right here. Bob Jones needs to put some points up on the board to try to quell this game from Huntsville.
Over the left side goes Williams inside the 40 to the 38. Good, tough running. Good hole opened up on the left side for the Bob Jones Patriots. More work there, on the left side. It's Mac Reagan, who was the Bob Jones player of the week last week for the Patriots, opening up a nice little hole. Second down and six. 8 yards. Fakes to Stewart, who comes in motion to Jalen Williams up the right side to the 20, the 15, the 10. He's in. Touchdown. Bob Jones looking around for the flags. They're gone. The Patriots are on the board.
At long last.
39 yards on the carry, and the Patriots hit the board.
Jalen Williams. This time we come back to the right side, and we were really exploiting them on the left, so good job by Coach. Go the opposite side. And Jalen, he wasn't even touched. Great running on the outside, avoiding all tacklers.
Great job. We just talked about the left side of Mac Reagan. The right side doing a nice job on its own tail, running behind Ethan Ganoush and Tucker Walters. This one is up. The attempt is up for Ian Kurowski, and it is good. Finally on the board, it's 7-0 Patriots here from Madison City School Stadium. A quick timeout. Patriots kicking next. You're listening to the Bob Jones Patriots on WUMP, exclusively brought to you by Tennessee Valley Fence. You're gonna love us around your place.
Back to the booth we go with Arky Shea and Seth Hagan. Bob Jones football is on the ump.
The Patriots take a 7-0 lead here in quarter number two with 10 minutes plus to go here in the half. Finally, the Patriots able to break through in that running attack. 38 yards for Jalen Williams, 7-0 Patriots.
We talked about it before the game. These running backs have to have a good game. Several opponents have already exploited Huntsville for a couple hundred yards in their games, both Decatur and last week's opponent in Buckhorn. Both their running backs went over 200 for the game.
Big mistake there for DeMario Patton as a pooch punt was coming to the near side to the 25. He basically tried to catch the ball with a foot out of bounds at the 25, so instead of getting the penalty, he'll start at the 25-yard line. So a little bit of a mistake there for Huntsville. We'll see if the Patriots can do something with that field position.
In a game this close, you have to be mentally strong. And things like that, there's no place for that. You have to know when to put your best team in the best position.
Huntsville comes out with two receivers left, one to the right. They'll fake the left run to the left and throw over to the right again. And upended as they threw it to number 88, Will Cooper again. Upended big time by the Patriots. Loss of a yard, but it looked like a little play action pass did not work out very well at all.
Stewart came down lightning fast and took the legs right out of the guy. And that was the exact same first play from the very first play of the game. That time, Cooper made the catch, but Bob Jones was ready for it.
Second down and 11. Mikhail Stewart, man, these twin brothers, Makai and Mikhail, have been playing some great ball their senior year. Two receivers to the left, including Andrew Jansen wide left, Cooper in the slot, one to the right. Quick throw. Coming out wide is Patton. He's got all kinds of space to the 40, to the 45, taken down eventually at the 48-yard line as tackled there by Bob Jones, number 47. 43, Jay Hawthorne, doing that ball hawking again as a big catch and throw there as they were just flanking out DeMario Patton, and he goes big to the 48.
That's the first time Huntsville has really broken out for a big play.
So that will go for 24. Quick throw to the right side again. Behind the line, they'll go. And that goes over to number 8, Kiashis Locklear, who get over to the right side to the 43 of Bob Jones. There's a flag on the play.
So that's a couple quick plays. And Jay Hawthorne on the tackling end of both of those for Bob Jones. But he's been sitting at deep safety this entire game. You do not want your deep safety making multiple plays in a row for you.
That is a holding call back on the Huntsville Panthers, so that will be good for the Patriots as it will stay first down, but they'll lose to 10 yards from where the play happened, which will actually take them back to the 44-yard line. It will be first down and about 14 for the Panthers. Three to the left, one to the right. See if they give more confidence to Jackson Glover. He's going to need to throw it to win in this game. Glover, handoff, goes up the middle to Bird. Bird to the line of scrimmage, maybe a yard. Give him a yard. Back to the 45-yard line, second down and 13.
Jason Hawley in on that tackle, his team-leading fourth of the game. He's been playing great in this game, winning his matchup more often than not.
I could give it that 1 yard gain to Patton, Stoney Patton. It's 1 yard to the 45. So we're looking under 9 minutes to go. Quarter number two, Patriots 7, Panthers nothing. Two receivers to the right, including Burt. Zach Strange, the tailback, and Cooper, your lone receiver, left side. Glover awaiting the call, looking to the sideline. Shotgun formation, he's in. Looks like a timeout will be called by the Panthers, and that will be their first call timeout of the first half. So Bob Jones with a 7-point lead. The Panthers strike with a big play for 24 yards on second down, shooting themselves a foot a little bit now on the second and third play since. But the Panthers need Jackson Glover to be able to step up and throw the ball at least a little effectively to be able to open up Bob Jones and try to make this offense go.
Yeah, and at this point, Huntsville knows that Bob Jones is zeroing in on their run game. They've been able to make it work to their credit. The offensive line spearheaded by Jalen Spady, a real big old dude. They need him, and Bob Jones, they're just going to have to be a little more mindful now because this guy is definitely working into a rhythm, and you don't want to let him break out and get hot.
It's a good job so far by Clint Woodfin, the head coach in his second year at Huntsville, to sort of try and ease him into the game. This is being his first start of his career, coming on the road against the top 10 of team in Bob Jones. So to try to ease him into this, and it doesn't hurt that their defense has played fairly well in the first half so far too.
Certainly.
So coming back out of timeout, the Panthers going from our right to our left with two receivers to the left, one to the right, one tailback. Glover waiting for the blitz, throws over to Patton. Patton to the 45, to the 50, to the 49 where he'll run. That's a gain of about six on the pass and go. They'll make it third down and a little bit more manageable, about seven. But a nice job by Glover to anticipate that pressure and get it over to Patton.
Looks like Huntsville is trying to get their playmakers in space, not keep it so congested in the middle because they know they can't win their matchups with Bob Jones there. A good job by the coach, put his quarterback in a better position than he's been the last couple drives.
Byron Pruitt lines up to the left side, one of the first times we've seen him tonight as a receiver, three receivers to the right. Glover rolls out to the right. Here comes the pressure behind him, looking. He's near out of bounds. Ball's deflected. It is caught. I think it's caught by Huntsville.
Wow.
That one is caught as Glover is knocked out of bounds. This one's inside the 35-yard line to the 32. That's a 17-yard catch. Holy cow.
And it's Will Cooper coming in off two bounces and catches the ball maybe 2-3 inches above the ground. Big play in a big spot there. Huntsville on the move, trying to tie this thing up.
Wow, could be a big momentum play for the Panthers there at the Bob Jones 32-yard line. First down and 10 on the right hash mark. They'll keep four receivers out, one tailback, which is Patton. Sophomore also listed as the defensive back on the roster for the Panthers. Won't even fake to him. Looking over the middle of the field, two defenders over the top of the Patriots and well incomplete. As intended for Kiashas Locklear over the middle of the field and nothing there. It'll be second down and 10.
You can tell Huntsville just getting a little more comfortable every single play. And now they're taking shots downfield.
I think that's something you have to do. The Patriots have been able to bottle up that run game and been able to show some pressure and make Jackson Glover uncomfortable. You got to try to take a couple of shots down the field and see if you can burn him once.
Yeah, if nothing else, just to make him think a little bit.
Three receivers, two to the left, one to the right. one tailback. They'll flank out again. DeMario Patton, and it's incomplete. And that one not thrown close to Patton. It'll be third down and 10.
Credit DJ Butler with that one right there. Didn't break up the pass necessarily, but blew right through his block, and the wide receiver definitely heard his footsteps.
6:35 to go here in the second quarter. The Patriots lead 7-0, but the Panthers are on the Patriots' 32-yard line. Glover comes up. Looks like he's going to get in the shotgun form. Excuse me, not in shotgun, but get under center. First time we've seen that tonight. Two receivers right. Quick toss to the right side. Look for Stoney again. He gets to the 30, to the 29. That's a gain of 3. Maybe 4 if I'm generous, but I won't be. It'll be 4th down and 7.
Kay Kohler with his team-leading 5th tackle on that one. That was a big tackle in a spot where Bob Jones was almost outnumbered. He got through his assignment, made the shoestring tackle.
Curious call there. I guess they were just trying to get a few more yards to make 4th down manageable because they are going to go for it, it appears. But just to do a quick toss to the right on 3rd down and 10, that was the short side of the field too. A little surprising you would try to, at least if you're going to do that, get some space on the near side. Regardless, it's going to be 4th down and 7. Looks like there's going to be another timeout called by the Panthers. And it will be. So their second timeout called here in quarter number 2. I want to thank everybody listening wherever you are. I want to thank our also great sponsors, Tennessee Valley Fence, for being aboard the entire year. Also, Woody Anderson Ford and Stephen McDaniel of Keller Williams Realty. During the halftime, we will talk to Whitney Deaver, who is the brand-new softball head coach for the Bob Jones Patriots, replacing a pretty darn good coach and I think a 30-plus year coach at in his career, Kent Chambers, who retired but stays on with athletic director roles here at the Patriots. We'll also talk to Frank Williams, the GM of Landers McLarty, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram, who is a big-time supporter of Bob Jones Patriots Athletics, and we'll talk to him for a few minutes as well. And also we'll get you the halftime stats in the numbers and tell you basically the story of the game so far.
Bob Jones with a chance here on 4th down to steal some of this momentum. They can turn this ball over right here. Offense get another score before the half. Makes it look very good and home, right in the driver's seat.
Glover with 2 receivers left and 1 tailback to the right. Stoney Patton is tailback. DeMario Patton comes in motion. They'll toss to him. He'll toss back to number 12, Nathan Shell. He'll throw over the middle. It is intercepted. It is intercepted by Bob Jones, and they're coming back to the near side before he's tackled at the 14-yard line. That's Mikhail Stewart, another tackle. Mikhail Stewart, man, awkwardly wrapped up back there as he is still on the ground. He is slow to get up as in defense. It looked like number 77 was trying to get the tackle. Jalen Spady, the senior offensive lineman, just got wrapped up awkwardly with Mikhail Stewart. And it's good news for the Patriots that he's limping off under his own power and no one's sort of attending to him as far as having to carry him. But a big interception there for the Patriots as they'll start now at their own 15.
Stewart already with a couple of tackles, a tackle for loss, and now that interception. He's been a big play guy so far for the Patriots.
So the first turnover of the game goes to the Bob Jones Patriots with the interception from Mikhail Stewart. So the Patriots, with 5:35 on the clock as the heat timeout is being administered, have enough time and all 3 of their timeouts to try to get one more drive going before the halftime to try to feel better about their position. I'm sure they know with their players, their skill position, and the opportunities they've had, they feel like they should be up more.
Yeah, let the offensive line pave the way on this drive, but we got 85 yards here. Brady Polson is going to have to get involved.
So Brady Polson will come back in. Isaiah Hatchett is the tailback. 2 left, 2 to the right. It's your receiver set. All 3 timeouts. Quick handoff goes to Hatchett. Hatchett goes over the right side to the 18-yard line. That's where they'll stop him. Actually give him the 19. That's a 4-yard carry for Hatchett. 2nd down and manageable.
He had one big play called back earlier. I know he's wanting to get out there and get some big plays after seeing Jalen have such a great drive previously.
We'll set out the same formation. They'll put Hatchett now to the left of Brady Polson. Kick. Here comes the snap. Polson fires. Looking near side. He's looking for Makai Stewart. Foul for it. Caught. Makai Stewart at the 45-yard line. A huge catch. That is 36 on the catch. As a big throw and big-time battle for Makai Stewart.
Stewart with a great job finding just a little bit of room against the top safety from Huntsville. That's Nathan Schell. He's already got 3 interceptions for the year. So that's a big play by a big-time receiver.
36 on the reception will bring up first down and 10 for the Patriots in Huntsville territory. Quick misdirection goes to Hatchett to the 35, to the 30 before he's upended. A gain of 14 for Hatchett, who's really starting to come on the last couple of games for the Patriots.
Never surprising how a big pass play just seems to open up so many holes right after it. Bob Jones right here gashing that line.
To the 30-yard line come the Patriots. One left, one right is your receiver, Sam Barnes to the right. Quick handoff goes to Hatchett again. He cuts up to the 20, to the 15. He's out of bounds before he gets to the 15. They'll give him to the 18-yard line. That's another 12-yard carry.
Three straight 10-plus yard plays for Bob Jones. They're moving down the field quick, a lot quicker than maybe they should be. They've already made up about 60 yards in just the last minute.
First down and 10 at the 18. Two carries, 26 yards are the last two. 3 for 30 on this drive for Hatchett. But Kenoff goes to Hatchett. He'll stretch it left. There's some space over there if he can get to the edge. He's going to stiff arm a defender. There's a flag thrown. He gets out of bounds at the 15, 14 that they'll give him, maybe the 13. But there's a flag thrown right where Hatchett stiff armed. Looked like Andrew Jansen's who he stiff armed, who went immediately to the ground. Almost a punch, not actually a punch, but he went down so quickly to Jansen. That's exactly where the flag is thrown. See if that will be the call. Actually, be holding just before he gets to it, so right in that area. The Montrez Brown was over there. That may be on him. So make it second down and about 18.
I'd really like to see DeMontrez be involved in the run game. He had a nice little stretch play last week against Sparkman that got about 15, 16 yards. He's a big body guy and hard to bring down. I'd really like to see him more involved in this offense.
To the 26-yard line. First down is just outside the 8. First down and 18. Quick toss comes near side for the Patriots.
And look who it is.
Coming in motion. That's DeMontrez Brown. Near side to the 5. Touchdown. Touchdown, DeMontrez Brown. You wanted him. You got him. 26 yards on first and 18. And the Patriots are back on the board.
Telling you, man, I love that. And the right side of this line now gaining the edge. I mean, that's 3 straight big plays on the ground after that big pass play to Makai Stewart. Bob Jones rolling here, but now they've given Huntsville the ball back with 4-plus to go in the half.
Korowski come on for the extra point attempt. The hold is good. The kick is up. The kick is just good. Actually, no good. Where did that miss it? Wow, it looked like it was short, but it went over as far as it wasn't very high. Regardless, it's 13-0. Maybe it was to the left. Terrible angles here in the press box, I tell you. DeMontrez Brown, 2 carries for 14 yards coming into the carry. Now, make that 3 for 40. We're going to take a quick timeout. Bob Jones, 13. Huntsville, nothing. You're listening to Bob Jones, brought to you by Tennessee Valley Fence. You'll love us around your place.
Back to live coverage of Bob Jones football on the Ump.
Back live here to Madison City School Stadium, Patriots with a 13-0 lead here in the second quarter as Ian Kowalski comes on to kick for the Patriots. 13-0 thanks to another big run for Bob Jones. Kowalski gets set to kick from that far hash mark. It's a squib kick near side. It is deflected. It is loose. Bob Jones saying they may be able to get to it as Patton was there to cover. It looks like Stoney Patton did get to it as it went off the fingertips of DeMario Patton, who was going toward the middle of the field. And, oh, that was almost danger, danger, danger time for the Panthers.
Isaiah Hatchett knows he almost had that one as well. That ball bounced right off his knee, right into the waiting arms of a Panther. Tough play right there, but he'll get his chances. Bob Jones here with a chance to get a quick stop and another quick score. You could put the Panthers to bed quickly.
First down and 10 at the 38 of the Panthers. Four of the Panthers will put two receivers to the right, one to the left, and the one tailback will be Zach Strange. Coming in motion. Patton rolls, thrown over to Strange to the 40, and that is where he'll be stopped at the 40-yard line. Strange gets a high pass there for the 48. I'm trying to get the heck out of Dodge pass from Jackson Glover. It'll be a gain of a yard and a half, and it'll be second down and long.
Showing a little poise right there. Lewis Williams came off his blind side and was coming in fast off the blitz. Really good job to drop it off to your running back.
Second down and long. Glover, bring a man in motion. He'll fake to him and still go to Strange over the right side. Get this to the 44, to the 45. Gang tackling on the Patriots, but not before he gets to the 46-yard line. That's a gain of about six. They'll make it third down and short.
Big down right here for Huntsville. They need to keep this drive going to keep Bob Jones' offense on that sideline because, I mean, they caught fire on that last drive.
One receiver to the left, that is Andrew Jansen. One to the right is Keashis Locklear. Actually, they'll bring in Gibson to the slot near side. Drop back, screen pass attempted, is incomplete, too low. Looking for Strange again. As they invited the pressure, did Jackson Glover. Could not get the pass high enough into the hands of Zach Strange, who had some space in front of him, had blockers in front of him, and could have been a dangerous play there for the Patriots, but just too low, incomplete.
For the game, I really wanted us to lean on our secondary to give our front seven a chance to force the backup QB into tough situations. Well, the front seven is getting back there quickly and actually giving the secondary a day off.
2 minutes and 50 seconds on the clock. Back to punt is Jackson Bruno. He awaits the snap, gets it long snap. Bob Jones went to the block, can't get it. Giving chase to the long kick is A.J. Harris. He picks it up after a muff. He gets to the 15, looking to the near side, trying to get to the boundary to the 20. Cuts back inside to the 25, flag down to the 29-yard line. I think everybody who had a flag threw one there. I don't have a flag, but I'm about to throw my yellow water bottle.
Trey Langford, man, this is a game of inches, Arky. He was, I mean, that block was maybe 2 inches from being a legal one. Came in trying to get his guy to just spring him along the sideline, and, boy, that was close. But it was a block in the back.
We got three flags thrown on the near side. We got one thrown on the far side. They may all be the same thing. It is a block at the back, and it's two of them, two blocks in the back. So a whole lot of blocking in the back going there for Bob Jones. I don't think he can double those up.
No, I don't think those stack up.
The clock will show 2:35. The Patriots do have all three timeouts, and we know exactly about their explosive ability offensively. Heck, they just showed it on their last drive. And they would love to be able to punch one more in before we get to the halftime spot. 8-yard line is where the Patriots will start, as the furthest back block in the back happened at the 13. And that'll bring up Jalen Williams with the tailback, Brady Polson as the quarterback, and four other receivers.
Let's see if they can one up that 85-yard drive we just saw.
Four receivers are the setup for the Patriots, going from our left to our right. Reminder, this week we have two interviews for you during the halftime show, including the softball head coach and the GM of Landers McLarty Chrysler the Jeep Dodge Ram. Quick handoff goes to Williams up the right side to the 15-yard line, maybe to the 16. That's a gain of actually maybe get to the 18. That may be enough for a first down. Looks like that is enough for a first down. So a 10-yard carry there for Jalen Williams. Actually, they're not going to give him that. Well, it looked like they were stopping the clock for that, but not. So Jalen Williams for nine. On second and one, Williams to the right of his tailback, or his quarterback, I should say. He is the tailback. Officials are calling for time. They may call for a measurement here, as it's close enough, as the officials are meeting right over the ball. It's close enough, and they move it. They actually move it forward like 2 or 3 inches. Maybe they had the spot wrong itself, and it is a first down. Never question yourself, Arky. Never question yourself. You're right for a reason.
The eye test, baby.
So it's first down and 10 for the Patriots, just inside the 19-yard line. Same formation, two left, two right, other receivers, 2:26 and counting on the clock. Kevin Rose and company, all three timeouts. Polson looking left, throwing over the middle. He's got Demontrezz Brown, but he could not find the free safety in the backfield who was waiting for him. Number 18, Cole Whitehurst, a defensive back doing damage back there. The first turnover for the Patriots, and they'll be at midfield.
Talked about it before the game. The safeties are dangerous here for Huntsville, and they just picked up another interception. I believe that's their ninth interception on the year. Forced five last week against Buckhorn.
So Huntsville will get to midfield where they will start and will have one timeout and 2 minutes and 16 seconds to go. It was a good look for Demontrezz Brown, just under throw where Demontrezz Brown was at. By about probably 3 or 4 yards. Three receivers to the right, one to the left. Hunt, handoff goes up the middle to the 50. It's going to be a gain of nothing. Maybe lost half a yard is Zach Strange. So nothing for Strange. He'll make a second down and long again. Look like the Panthers were just trying to catch the Patriots off guard. Try to pop him for one at midfield and couldn't.
Second tackle for loss for Cade Kohler. Linebackers playing really big in this game, trying to pitch this first half shutout.
Two receivers set up to the right. Glover in the shotgun calls for the snap with a wave with his right hand. Handoff goes to Patton. Patton cuts up field to the 50 and back to the original line of scrimmage, which only lost about half a yard to start off with. Stoney Patton, another carry. This time, I'm going to be generous and give him one half.
That is generous.
Third down and 10. Clock shows 1:14 and counting. Huntsville looks pretty content here unless they can get a big third down conversion. One timeout left for the Panthers. Bob Jones has all three of theirs. They are very methodical, very slow as far as calling the play. The play clock is down to 13 and to 12 seconds. All players are standing still looking at the sideline. They may just call timeout here and milk the clock and try to go for a third down play, maybe another run to force Bob Jones to call a timeout. They do call a timeout, the final timeout for Clint Woodfin, the head coach of the Huntsville Panthers, with 47 seconds to go. And right now, Clint Woodfin's just trying to make sure that the next mistake Huntsville makes actually doesn't happen at all in this first half. Clint Woodfin in his second season, 3-10 overall, 3-6 in region play. Bob Jones is Kevin Rose in his eighth season. If he wins tonight, it will be his 50th region win in Bob Jones' history. He is 49-3 in region play.
Got to be one of the quickest to ever get to a 50th win right there. I mean,
there's only three games faster you can get it to.
You can't go much faster than that.
He has won the share of or the region championship each of the last seven seasons, all of his seasons. The one share with Gadsden City just a couple of seasons ago, won the Region 4 championship last year. Seven region crowns, five region titles in Region 8 and 6A before 7A was created and gave way to Region 4 for the Patriots. 111-53 is Kevin Rose overall, 78-23 overall in region. One heck of a head coach Bob Jones has over there. So third down and 10, two receivers to the right, one to the left, one tailback, and one quarterback. Flag thrown on the near sideline before we can get the play off. See what the call is. Near side. Is there a false start possible?
There's been a few of them in this game.
Jansen has gotten away with a couple of near moves. Offsides is going to be called on Bob Jones. Jansen has gotten away with a couple of quick starts to try to get to his offensive play. Look like they may have gotten, I don't know if they got, for Bob Jones, they got Trey Langford on that. There was somebody close to the line. It was either Trey or number 90 Gavin Lewis who were the two closest to the line at that time.
They've really been towing the line of offense. I mean, they've been going blitz almost every time.
Glover looks. It is incomplete. He was looking for DeMario Patton. He had him over the middle of the field. There were a whole bunch of red jerseys there for the Patriots. It wasn't going to be easy for him to get the first down anyway. It was going to be fourth down and five. So fourth down and five, the punt team comes on for the Panthers. Bob Jones will get another shot at this. 40.7 seconds to go here in quarter number two. As there's still three timeouts left, back looks like Sam Barnes is to return to kick is Jackson Bruno yet again. Bob Jones may want to try to get a block on this one. This ball is faked. It's faked and it's taken to the right side. It's a first down to the 40, just inside the 40. Actually, that's actually just outside the 40 where they're stopping them. That could be just short. As they faked it to number 33, Michael Nitti, he landed on his head just outside the 40, and they will just give him the first down.
It was interesting. Wow. That was an interesting
that
spot
was so
because,
close.
Yeah, I feel like he got across the 40-yard line pretty cleanly. Definitely the upper part of his body across that line, so surprised at that spot, but a really gutsy call there from Huntsville, and for now, they stay in it with 30 seconds to go.
40-yard line they go, 26 seconds and running for the Panthers. They may try to get a couple plays here. Why not take a couple shots? No timeouts left. Pump fake. Glover looks, rolling right. Fumbles the ball. It's on the ground. Bob Jones says they have it, and they do. Holy bananas. What a turn of events for the Huntsville Panthers. They get the fake punt. Nitti goes for 5.01, which is just barely more than he needed. Glover tries to go shotgun and roll and look for an open receiver. He fumbles the ball without even having any pressure on him. Patriots are covered. They're at their own 42, all three timeouts, and 13.9 seconds to go.
Glover's been the recipient of a lot of pressure in this first half. But he's a guy that running's just not his game. And when he gets outside of that box, he gets outside of his comfort zone.
So a turnover there for Jackson Glover and the Patriots put four receivers out. Paulson looks, over the middle of the field. It's where he likes. It is going to be intercepted. Intercepted on the left side again. They got greedy looking for it. No, that much damage not done, but Andrew Jansen again with another interception. Does that make 10 on the year for this defensive secondary?
It does.
10 interceptions on the year. We're in game four for Huntsville. Absolutely bonkers numbers that they're putting up. 6.5 seconds to go here in quarter number two, and I imagine at this point, if you're Bob Jones, especially if you're Huntsville, let's just kneel this one and get to halftime.
Yeah.
It's 13-0 Patriots as we get set for halftime.
Yeah, let's go get some Gatorade at this point.
Don't forget, coming up, we'll talk to the new softball coach, Whitney Deaver, who'll be on to tell us what it's like to win a billion state championships and see if she brought any of her state championships rings. I wonder if she brought any. No rings? Oh, no rings. Man, no one wants to bring rings here. I'm the only one that brings a ring. It's a wedding band. That's not fun. Quick handoff is tackled. It's on the right side, and that will end the second quarter. So a whole lot of pomp and circumstance in the last minute and a half means absolutely nothing here as there is a player injured for Bob Jones and limping. Looks like it's number 95, Ashton Smith. He will limp off the field and be helped by a couple of Patriots, but he will go to halftime, and we'll see on his status when we come back. We'll take a two-minute timeout. When we come back, we'll talk to Whitney Deaver, the head softball coach, brand new here at Bob Jones, and we'll talk about the softball program. One of my favorite sports to watch on TV. Easily one of my favorite sports to watch on TV. Two-minute timeout. We'll come back with her coming up next. You're listening to Bob Jones Patriots Football on WUMP, exclusively brought to you by Tennessee Valley Fence. You'll love us around your place.
Now back to Bob Jones Football on the Ump.
But I welcome you back in live here in Madison City School Stadium as we get set for the halftime show. We got numbers coming up for you in just a minute. But first, let's talk to the brand new, newly minted head coach of the Bob Jones softball program. She's Whitney Deaver. Coach Deaver, welcome in.
Thank you.
It is a pleasure to have you up here. Were you able to find the place okay?
Yes.
Yeah, we're kind of hidden away. It's up here, very way at the top.
At the top.
That's where we
it was a walk.
So first I want to ask, you're replacing a Bob Jones legend.
Yes.
In Kent Chambers as the head softball coaches. Does that, how does that, I know, how's that hard to replace? I mean, you can't really replace someone like that, but you're going to have to put on the visor, you know.
Right. Actually, it's been great because he's still at the school being an athletic director position, so he's been a phenomenal resource. Any questions I have, he's there to answer, and he's so supportive of the program. So to me, it's better than coming in after somebody's been, you know, fired or whatever. Like, he's been positive, supportive, and helping me in any way I need.
Now, I saw him setting up a horseshoe ring in the actual softball field.
Yes.
This week for his class. Are you okay with that? Were you okay?
Yeah,
did he consult you, or is it still his
field?
He did
consult me.
Okay, good.
He turned over all his keys to me, and then whenever he needs it, he says, is it okay if I use it? I promise I'll fix it. So it's okay.
So you come here, you have a few state, how many state championships from Sparkman?
I have three.
Three, yes. State championships, yeah. And no rings tonight.
I didn't bring my rings, I'm sorry.
Do you ever wear them?
I'm sorry?
Do you ever wear them? Do you ever wear your rings around?
I
feel like you should.
I did when I was at Sparkman, but okay. Now I feel like since I'm at Bob Jones.
New place, new rings we got to get.
Correct.
Sure. So what is first on tap for workouts and all for softball?
Right now we are working out Monday, Tuesday, Thursdays. Monday we do a character study with FCA, and then after FCA character study we start our workouts with D1. They're a facility down in South Huntsville, and two guys come out from D1 and work our girls out and do softball specific conditioning. And so far, like on Thursday, they did some med ball slams and some stuff to get their hips rotated quicker. And so it's a lot more softball specific, and it's been great so far.
You're talking about, I'm thinking one of the most, I think it's honestly top two as far as most fun sports to watch on TV, which softball is. I watch the College World Series every year, and anytime it can get on TV, or the Women's College World Series, and I don't know why there's not more people into it just watching it. Going to a live softball game is one of the funnest things I've ever done, and yes, funnest, I did use that word.
Well, I'll actually tell you a secret.
Oh, please.
When it's a one-syllable word, it is supposed to just be E-R-E-S-T. So fun
technically
should be funnest.
Thank
that's
you.
The rule. So.
Thank you, Coach. Yeah. Now you're my new favorite coach, Bob Jones. I make up words and you say, actually, that's the right word. do you see a surge in popularity in softball? Because I feel like being on social media and things, that I see more and more people who actually are watching and talking about it, especially during the season, who actually seem to be more interested in watching.
100%. Now, I mean, when I was growing up, getting to watch a game was, you didn't hear of it, you know. I remember being in fourth grade and Alabama had just gotten a program. So, you know, it's just grown so much. And now you've got the SEC Network that has all these games on it. And you're just watching it. I mean, my poor husband, we watch it all the time, and he's like, oh my gosh, are we watching it? Every weekend we're watching another softball game.
How crazy to think that, you know, baseball's been around for billions of years, it feels like, but some of these programs are only getting like 10, 15, 18 years ago are getting softball programs just now, and especially you look at teams like Alabama and Auburn and State, who just immediately went to the top,
right,
as far as being so good. I mean, how wild is it to think that there, 15 years ago, it was just basically West Coast only.
West Coast, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How wild has that explosion been to see it happen in the South?
It's awesome. It really is. And what's really cool to me to see is Alabama and Auburn recruiting in the state of Alabama. You know, that's hasn't really – it's usually, this, you know, Southeastern Conference team is still composed of 12, you know, West Coast players. Well, now it's progressed, and they're recruiting in the South, which is awesome.
And it's just a testament to how the coaches are getting better, the training,
right,
is getting better, the players are obviously getting better.
Right.
And that across the board, softball is so much of more, I think, even sport as far as like where the talent is, that you don't have to go to the West Coast. There are a lot of really great,
correct,
North Alabama players around.
Correct. You know, Louisiana has a lot. Florida has a lot. Tennessee has a lot. You know, Alabama has a ton. So, I mean, you can recruit a team. I mean, if you look at Alabama's roster and Auburn's roster, even you find one or two California players now, which is not what it used to be.
How scientifically can someone throw nearly 200 pitches and then come back like the next day and still be able to run again? How does that work? Because it feels like Baseball pitchers go out after like 94 pitches.
Correct.
And they start crying for a week. Softball pitchers throw 160 pitches, come back the next day. You need day two. And by the way, they'll throw no hitters and come back and throw one hitter.
Yes.
Like, it's just insane. And at the high school level, too.
I always tell my husband, he was a baseball player in college, I always say that sports is tougher. But it's really that, you know, that underhand motion is a lot more natural than the overhand motion. If I go out and throw overhand, the next day I'm icing. You know, I can't move my arm. Whereas underhand, you know, I'm fine the next day. So it's just more of a natural motion.
When does the season start? What do you have some tournaments going?
We start, our first game is February 21st, and our first tournament is that week in the 24th and 25th, I think.
So where do you go for the first tournament?
Is that the Sportsplex? Hazel Green hosts it.
Oh, very cool, mm-hmm. Very cool. Well, Coach Deaver, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you coming on. Congratulations on the new position.
Thank you.
If you win the state championship here, I'd like for you to wear the ring up here for the next
interview. I will do that, I promise.
I appreciate that. I'll come into our studio
okay.
to be able to wear the studio.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. She's Whitney Deaver, the head coach, the newly minted head coach of the Bob Jones Patriots of the softball team. We're going to take a two-minute timeout. When we come back, we'll talk to Frank Williams, the GM of Landers and Clark and Chrysler Deep Dodge Ram. You're listening to Bob Jones Patriots Football on the Ump. I want to welcome you back live in here to Madison City School Stadium. The Bob Jones Patriots lead 13-0 over visiting Huntsville. A little bit of a slow and sluggish game for the Patriots, but they do have a 2-touchdown lead, and they will get the ball to start the second half. Now joined by Frank Williams, the GM of Landers, McLarty, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram, the biggest supporter and one of the – I've already only known you a few minutes. You seem like one of the nicest people I've already met. There's a lot of people. So, Mr. Williams, thank you for being a part.
Yeah, no problem. You know, we look for opportunities where the tradition matches what we brought to Huntsville. And we've been here 9 years, and, man, what an awesome program. It's just a huge tradition. I'm glad I started a year ago. It's my second year, and I just look forward to a long-time partnership with Bob Jones.
I'll tell you one of the greatest things I like, and what I like about what Landers does is that, you know, we as far as the ump, as far as a cluster of stations like WZYP, WVNN, and we have had several events charity-wise that Landers just came straight to the forefront and said, let's do it at our place, do whatever we can. Did a water drive for Flint, Michigan to be able to help, and I think I got over 5,000 cases of water that we had.
Yeah.
It was just insane. I mean, the community here in North Alabama is so great, and you know, to be able to see you give back to a community like Bob Jones in the Madison area is really just something that it warms my heart. I love being able to see local businesses stay local and support local. It just is one of the greatest things I have.
Well, how are we going to protect our communities unless we give back? And Madison is just an awesome place to be. And when you think about one of the best schools in the country, and then you look at the football program as one of the best traditions I've seen since I've been here 9 years, it just matches everything we do here. So we just love it. I'm excited. It's an awesome game tonight. I look forward to doing more charity and more sponsorships, and it's what we believe in. That's the promise I made when I got here.
You say you've been here 9 years. Where'd you come from?
Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Milwaukee, okay. I've been to Milwaukee once. I should have not gone in February because it's really cold there in February.
For sure.
Where are you, a Milwaukee sports fan? Is that where you
were? Yeah, you know, I'm a Packer fan.
Yeah.
I've evolved to an Alabama and an Auburn fan. I'm like a switch hitter. You know, I don't get caught up. I go with whoever won every other year. So this way all of our clients won't get so upset if I pick a different team every year. So,
and the ump is the home of not only Bob Jones football, but of Alabama football. Pregame coverage starts tomorrow at 11:30 with Eli Gold and company. I want to pay you this compliment because my wife and I are in the next couple months about to be in the market for two new cars.
For sure.
And, you know, being able to deal with you guys for the last year or so, just with some of the great people that work with you guys, I told her that there's no way we're not going to Landers.
Right.
Because of I appreciate not only you being local and giving back to local, but not only it's great prices, great deals, spend a Saturday. You're going to find anything you want on lot of Winnelanders and Clark plots. But I want to be able to give back to someone who gives to us because, you know, when we think about it, we're all in this together. You know
100%.
What I mean? And I just want to be able to tell you that I told her that there's no other option. Yeah. Find what you want on one of those lots and we'll do it.
Right. No, I appreciate that. You know, when I came here, that's what I believed in. I vowed with my partners that if I can't partner here and give back to this community at such a high level. I mean, I donate somewhere between $200,000 and $300,000 a year, and I continuously look for ways to bring this back to our community. You know, our profit going somewhere else outside of our country is just unacceptable.
Yeah.
So whatever it takes to continue to do this and then find out that customers like you might give us a shot only because we're giving back, that's what I'm looking for. That's gratifying. And again, it's these traditions that we got to keep up as a community, because the money, we all got to kind of participate to get the tradition up.
The great thing about sponsors is I always tell people who listen to our morning show with Cole Kubelk or afternoon with Tom Abraham or Bob Jones Football or Alabama Football is that they're supporting us and you're supporting the community and Bob Jones being able to be on the ump as well.
Yes, sir.
It's that to be able to support them, we have to support you too.
Right.
Because if not, where do we expect the family atmosphere to go?
Yeah, most people don't realize what all these dollars go to when you shake them out, whether it's on a radio station or whether it's on a school. I mean, all these dollars are needed for so much to put these kids on the field.
It is.
And give them a good presentation and then let them know the whole community is behind them. So I just appreciate and honor you gave me an opportunity to come talk with you.
Absolutely. And you talk about how much it takes to get these guys on the field. It's over $250,000 a year to put a football team at this level on the field for an entire season.
And when things are tough, this is where, you know, companies like mine got to step in.
Yeah, and we really appreciate that. Frank Williams, GM of Landers McLarty, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram.
Don't forget, I got a Subaru store too, okay?
Yeah, Subaru as well. I told my wife, anything you want on those lots, it's fine. It's perfect.
You'd be surprised at treatment. That's the other thing we're doing here with my stores. We're trying to really make our deals be that much beneficial so long-term our community is in a good position in our automobiles. No one really talks about how you can make some of these purchases and end up being upside down or you're not beneficial to your family. I'm actually changing that trend going into the future. So I guarantee you'll get a good deal.
Go support them. They support us. They support Bob Jones. Just nothing else, go give them a shot. Give them a shot. Look, you're not going to be disappointed.
For sure.
You're going to find great deals. They're going to be beneficial, like you say, to your family. And all that money's going right back into the community.
Yes, sir.
It's not just going into pockets. It's
that's
going
100%.
Into the community. And that's such a big deal when you talk about being on a Friday night at a high school stadium.
And most people don't. I might be a presenting sponsor, but I don't turn down. If they come to me tomorrow and they need more, I'm all in.
That's so great to hear. Yeah. Frank, thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
And look forward to talking to you soon.
Thank you, sir.
Frank Williams, GM of Landers, McLarty, Chrysler, Jeep. Oh, I got caught in your sunglasses there. Thank you, Mr. Williams. Really appreciate it. Yes, sir, I will do. Landers, McLarty, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. As I said, we did charity events with them. We did the Flint, Michigan water drive we did with them and raised over 5,000 cases of water. That's just, it's wild. It's wild. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back about 2 minutes from now, we'll get you some numbers from the first half and get you set for second half of Bob Jones versus Huntsville. You're listening to the Bob Jones Patriots, brought to you exclusively on the Up by WUMP and good friends of the show, Tennessee Valley Fence. You'll love us around your place.
Back to live coverage of Bob Jones football on the Up.
Welcome back live into Madison City Schools Stadium, y'all. We have an interesting matchup right now between Bob Jones, number 6 in the state, up 13-0 on the Huntsville Panthers. It has been a back-and-forth battle, and by back-and-forth, I mean a lot of miscues on both sides for both teams. Bob Jones looking a little sloppy in this game, one of those games where I think they can tell that they are better. So they need to get a little more creative with their play calling. We'll talk about that in just a second. Let's look at some of the numbers from the first half, Seth. And, Seth, for the most part, we looked at a first half that was so much running from both sides of the team. From Huntsville, it looked like they were just trying to sort of run out the clock, so to speak, and bring in Jackson Glover slowly to the game plan. Bob Jones was just hoping to get that rushing game going, the average of 180 yards a game nearly, to try to get it underway.
Yeah, Huntsville to me is very fortunate to still be in this game. Their defense really should get the game ball tonight for just keeping them in it. Those two interceptions were clutch. But Huntsville's been trying to get it going through the air a little bit. Jackson Glover, not bad at all, 7-14, 62 yards. Had that one pick, threw it in enemy territory, so that was that wasn't too good, but hasn't been helped a whole lot by the run game. Bob Jones really concentrating on keeping that run game contained. Just 8 carries overall for 35 yards from the entire team, and that's not even counting Glover's a couple of rushes for negative yards. So Bob Jones doing a very good job so far, but like I said, there's just been miscues. The overthrows by Polson, the underthrows that led to interceptions. This is a game where Bob Jones should be up by much more, and they're just keeping it close.
It does sort of feel like that, that we talked about that frenzy dam mentality, which is you make a little crack in the dam, you keep poking at it, eventually the water's going to fall out. You wonder if that's going to happen at some point for Bob Jones, who will get the ball to start the second half in just a couple of minutes. Looks like some of the rushing numbers for Bob Jones look pretty good. Jalen Williams with 8 carries, 72 yards, and a touchdown. Isaiah Hatchew with 9 carries and
three
carries and 70 yards. Oh, that's not bad. And Demontrez Brown, who's got that 1 carry at 26 yards for the touchdown. That wasn't a 1st and 18, oh, by the way. It turns out to be 26 yards for the touchdown. So not bad for him. For Brady Polson, though, he's had a couple of these nights, just 2 of 7, 40 yards, a couple of interceptions, struggling to get the ball down the field accurately. And you're going to struggle in some games, but you knew you were going to struggle to get the ball hockey defense like Huntsville. It's 10 interceptions in the first 3.5 games. 10!
Yeah. I mean, it's a very tough matchup. In the last couple of games, Polson has really been able to air it out, and his wide receivers have been getting past their matchups. Well, here's the thing. They may be getting past their matchups tonight, but those safeties are coming over, and they're ball hawking like crazy. On both of those interceptions, Demontrez Brown had his man on the outside and just overthrown by Polson. So if Polson could put a little bit more air under that, they should come out with a pretty easy win tonight.
Polson, 35 of 70 coming into the game with 706 yards, 6 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. So struggling still to try to get into that rhythm, and he continues this game. He's going to be important for the second half to hopefully build some momentum, because homecoming here next week against Florence will be a totally different animal than Huntsville is right now. But they still have 24 minutes to defend. And one player that we don't talk a lot about, is we've not seen a ton of them, and that's Brad Anderson. Remember, he had that game to start the season where he had 17 carries for 310 yards and 3 touchdowns. Since then, he's had 6 carries for 12 yards and a touchdown, including 1 touchdown last week. He has not been the same player, and we've not seen him as much. He missed a game against Austin that turned out for being the Bob Jones only loss so far of the season, and we've seen him in limited action since. Really hope that going forward that he's able to get healthy and get up to feed back under him so we can see 24 back in the lineup, because he is the speedster for Bob Jones.
Yeah, he's a guy that could really be the catalyst to really break this whole thing open. We've got good wide receivers on the outside in Brown and Barnes. We've got a couple of really good running backs. He's the guy who can kind of do it all that would make this offense just explode. And, we got to get him back out there. Have not seen him really at all in the first half of this game.
So the Bob Jones Patriots get set to receive Terrell Jennings back for the Patriots. So is A.J. Harris and Makai Stewart. Also, if they kick it a little shorter, Isaiah Hatchett is there. And a little shorter than that, Sam Barnes. But a whole lot of skill position players for the Patriots on as they'll get ready to go from our right to our left, the same way on your radio dial. Getting set to kick will be number 84 for the Huntsville Panthers, and that is Jackson Bruno, who got his fair share of work punting in the first half. We'll see what he does here on his first kickoff of the game. Right-footed kicker sets up on the near hash mark at the 40-yard line. His team down 13-0 to the number 16 in the state. His kick is short and pooched at the 35. Ball's on the ground. Huntsville looks like they may have it. That ball is muffed, and it looks like the Panthers have it, and they did. Boy, just a terrible start there for Bob Jones. Ball goes straight through the hands and off kneecaps and goes forward from the 35 to the 42, which is where it's recovered for Huntsville. And that's exactly what Bob Jones did, not once, to start the second half.
That's the third muff for Bob Jones on the night, and this time it finally came back to bite him. And now they put a Huntsville team that was in look of any kind of points at all in a very good position here, short field.
So at the 42-yard line of the Patriots, start the Panthers. Jackson Glover comes in with 2 to the left, 2 to the right, his receivers. One tail back. Patton comes in motion. They'll hand it off near side. The 45, he gets out away from pressure inside the 40 to the 36-yard line. Maybe the 35 they'll give him credit for. If they give him the 35, it looks like that they want the 36. So at the gain of 7 on that, it'll be second down in a long 3.
It was a good run right there. Almost brought him down in the backfield, but able to catch that edge, and only Jay Hawthorne can bring him down at that point.
So second down. Glover looks, throws left. It is caught left. Caught at the 30 to the 25. Give a chase to the Patriots to the 22-yard line. That's a 15-yard catch and go there, actually 14-yard.
Yeah, and that was Nathan Schell who caught that wide open. Looked like there was a miscommunication amongst the linebackers why he was out there on the edge, wide open. But result is Huntsville knocking on the door on the 22.
22-yard line, two receivers to the right, one tailback. And off goes that tailback, who's Zach Strange. Near side, tried to cut inside the 20. He's hit at the 20, goes to the 19-yard line. He's finally put on the ground by the Patriots. Looks like that may have been Trey Langford in there getting the tackle.
Yeah, Trey Langford with the tackle there. Jay Hawthorne tried to come in and deliver the boom once again, but Langford, really good form tackle, got low, picked the legs up, and drove him down.
So it'll be second down at about 7 inside the 20. Clock shows 10:40 here in the third quarter. The Patriots lead 13-0. It would have been a lackluster game for Bob Jones thus far. Two receivers to the left, none to the right. Strange the tailback. Mario Patton goes in motion to the left. Flanks out to the left. Ball is thrown incomplete. Well in front of him. As Patton looks back to his quarterback Glover and says, "Get me in the chest, man. I'm open."
Lewis Williams, he was, I tell you what, he got held by his wide receiver matchup, and he would have broken front of that pass for an interception. He was coming hard.
So it'll be third down and about 7. Got to get to the 12.5-yard line for the first down. 3 left, 1 right, your receiver set. To the right is number 27, Jawan Phillips. I haven't seen a ton of him tonight, but he's a big matchup problem. So is 88, Will Cooper to the left side in the slot. Glover looks, throws near side, looking for Phillips. It is knocked away by the Patriots. That's number 22, Jaden Hill, with the stop, and now the Patriots have a man on the ground holding his right leg.
That's Langford.
Trey Langford holding his right leg back down at the 26-yard line. It'll be fourth down at 6, 6.5-ish, as he takes off his helmet, riding around in some pain. But a good defensive play by Jaden Hill. Don't want to take away from that. Just able to get his hand in and break up the pass to Jawan Phillips.
Yeah, that was a big play right there. You know right now that Huntsville is in four down territory. You want to keep that gain minimal on third down. That's exactly what happened. And it's tough to guard one of those inside routes where you really have to reach around your man and knock that ball in.
So nice job by Hill, who gets the pass deflection. Now, I'll bring up fourth down, and interesting because the Huntsville Panthers are obviously looking for some type of momentum here off that muff kick to start the second half. If they can get something here, you would think go for a field goal maybe at the 18. It'll make it a 35-yard attempt, but you got to understand, and maybe even 36 at the 19. High school is just such a different thing as far as kicking. Getting good kickers to be able to kick from 25, 35, 40 yards out, they become rarer and rarer to find, even at this level.
Yeah, when you're talking about recruiting and punters, I mean, you'll never see a four-star kicker, ever. I mean, these guys just do not develop that quickly. Very rare at the college level do you see a guy kick for 3-4 years. Guys like Daniel Carlson and Robert Aguayo for Florida State last year, I mean, those are really rare guys, and it's just different. But it looks like they are going to line up.
This is why I get paid the big bucks, because they are coming on to try the field goal attempt. This will be from 36 yards out for number 84, Jackson Bruno. The junior gets set from the near hash mark. Bob Jones playing it safe. Waits for the snap. Gets the snap. The hold good. The kick is up. The kick is short. No good. And to the left. Bob Jones looking to return. And they got it. It is caught, but you cannot return a field goal, a missed field goal, as having it all the way. I mean, we've seen this play 1,000 times. from inside your own end zone to return a missed field goal. But you can't do that at the high school level. Basically, once the kick goes into the end zone, it's dead.
Man, so you tell me you cannot kick six at the high school level.
You cannot.
Boy.
But you know who did try? Jay Hawthorne.
Jay Hawthorne, of course. Of course, and he was gone. He had it.
Oh, he did have
it. He had it. I mean, it was. You could tell that the offense for Huntsville was really caught in a weird situation there because they were thinking, like, can he go? Oh, we better go try to tackle this guy. Didn't matter, though.
First and 10 at their own 20. The Patriots now go from the right to left. Stretch play to the left side of Jalen Williams. Gets to the 25, to the 26, to the 27. That's a big run for that Demontrez Brown instead. That's Williams. I was looking the wrong way. Jalen Williams gets 7 on that.
Jalen Williams slowly trotting his way to
I should not mistake him ever for Jalen Williams.
He's trotting his way to 100 yards, that's for sure.
So a 7-yard gain. Make it second down and short. Another handoff to Williams. Goes up the middle to the 32, to the 35. Breaks another couple tackles to the 37-yard line. Another 9-yard carry for big number 35.
That gives him 90 for the game so far.
Two carries, 16 yards. Gets up to the 38-yard line. First and 10 for the Patriots. Patriots come up 13-0 with 9.5 to go here in the third quarter. Two to the left, two to the right. In motion comes Mekhi Stewart. They won't go to him. They'll go to Hatchet, who gets up to the 40, to the 42. And that's where he'll be stopped, to the 42-yard line, a gain of 4.
I like the way Bob Jones is doing it right now, letting the offensive line pave the way. Big holes for the running backs here. And if they need to, they got the smarts to get to the edge. Bob Jones, they just need to keep it consistent. And at some point, like I said, Brady Polson's got to be a factor on these drives.
Two to the right, one to the left is your receiver. Stewart comes in motion again. They'll toss to him. He tries to get wide. He's having struggle getting wide. Got to move up the field. Gets to the 45 after finally cutting in late. It's another 3-yard gain. Give him 3 on that one. He'll make it third down and 3.
Getting all the playmakers involved here. I really like it. Hatchett now way back behind his quarterback. Polson's got 2 receivers to each side.
Third and 3. Actually, we'll call it a short 3. They'll split the 4 receivers out again. Hatchett, your tailback. Polson gets the snap. Looks, fires over the middle. It is caught by Demontrez Brown at the 40. We're taken down there. It's a gain of 14 to the 40-yard line of Huntsville. Big first down.
All right, so 5 plays, 5 different runners. I'm liking it so far. Keeping it clicking. Looks a lot like that second drive in the second quarter.
Kyle Williams comes in motion. They'll toss it to him. He wants to cut inside to the 35, to the 32, to the 31-yard line. Another 9-yard gain for the Patriots.
And they're getting it with everybody. That one, Cameron Kyle Williams with the big game. And now Jalen Juicy Williams back in the game. He'll line up near the offensive line. Hatchett also in the backfield.
Demontrez Brown, one-on-one coverage, way to the far side, near side. Won't worry about it. Go to Hatchett, near side. Tries to get to the edge. He cuts to the 25, to the 20, to the 15. One man to beat, to the 10, to the 5. Pushed out of bounds at the 5-yard line. They will give him the 5, so that is a gain of 27 for number 9.
Can't say enough about our running backs in this game. They have had the patience, followed their blocks the entire game, and found that edge, found the room. And it's a big reason why we've gone over a 150 tonight.
Ethan Ganush in at the left side as a fullback. He is blocking for Isaiah Hatchett. They don't get to the end zone. They get to the 3-yard line. The gain of 2. As they lined up the big right tackle transfer out of Grissom as a fullback in the backfield. Actually, as an extra tight end. Looks like they'll keep him in again. That's a big boy coming at you.
Oh, yeah, and you got Demontrez Brown on the left side right along Randolph. That's imposing.
Second and goal. They run by behind him. Isaiah Hatchett. Touchdown. 3 yards for Isaiah Hatchett and the Patriots. Back up 3 scores. Running right behind Ethan Ganush, the transfer from Grissom High.
Looks like
19
Bob Jones,
to nothing.
Looks like they may go for two here.
Try to make it a 21-point lead.
You got the offense going so far. Might as well stick with the rhythm.
They'll try two receivers to the left, two to the right. Throws in the back corner of the end zone. Caught by Stewart. Two-point conversion is good, and the Patriots are up 21 to nothing. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back. Bob Jones, 21. Huntsville, nothing. You're listening to the Bob Jones Patriots on the UMP. That's right, the UMP. Brought to you by Tennessee Valley Fence. You'll love us around your place.
Now back to Bob Jones football on the UMP.
We welcome you back live into Madison City School Stadium. Patriots take a 21-0 lead. And my apologies, I got my number switched around. 77 is not Ethan Ganouche. It's Mac Reagan, who is the Bob Jones offensive lineman and player of the week this past week. So my apologies. Mac Reagan and family, you guys deserve the credit. Reagan, a Mack truck back there in the backfield. So good job by him as Isaiah Hatchett ran behind him for 3 yards.
Yeah, he's a three-star offensive lineman, and he is a load up the middle, over 320 pounds.
Kick comes near side and deep to the 10-yard line. It is taken to the 30, to the 35, to the 40, to the 44-yard line. The Patriots go get him, but not before number 23, Jordan Thompson, is able to get, look like a gain of 33 on the return. And that'll be where the Panthers start. First down and 10 here in the third quarter, down 21 to nothing.
Defense, pretty easy job right here. Just continue to do what you've been doing. Put pressure on the quarterback. Keep Glover uncomfortable. And he's already shown it. He doesn't have much range on his throws.
Two receivers to the right, one to the left for Glover, trying to get some momentum back for the Panthers. Calls for the snap. He sends one of his flankers out. Screen pass deflected. It's up in the air. It's incomplete. Whole bunch of redcoats were working for that one. Second down and 10.
That knockdown was either Gavin Lewis, number 90, or Talik Curden. Talik Curden, I got to shout him out. He has been in the backfield early and often this entire game, putting pressure on the backup QB. And a big reason why they continue to pitch this shutout. You could tell it really means a lot to this defense to get this shutout against a division opponent.
To the left is your wide receiver set. As the tailback goes to number 10, Stoney Patton. He gets back to the 40. That's not even the line of scrimmage. He loses 2 yards at the right side of that defensive line. Again, there's Curitan again doing damage to Lee Curitan, getting the tackle for loss. Third down and 12. So it'll be third down and 12 with 6:40 to go here in quarter number 3. Huntsville put out 4 receivers, 2 either side. It's lined up at their own 40-yard line. Middle of the field is the ball. Glover looking back, getting his first career start tonight in this region matchup on the road between Bob Jones and Huntsville. He looks, fires left side. It is caught. It is caught just past the first down marker to the 47-yard line. He needed 12, he gets 13 as Andrew Jansen there with the catch.
That's the second time Jansen has snuck out there to the left side and been wide open. A couple of big third down catches for them that have kept drives going and kept Bob Jones off the school board, but obviously that's been limited.
Two receivers to the right, one tailback. They'll fake to him. Glover rolls right, looking, and his toss is off to Patton. Patton gets to the 46-yard line, back to the line of scrimmage. Mario Patton, another catch here, but nothing on the positive yardage side. Second and long here for the Huntsville Panthers, as they'll call it the heat timeout, as we have 5:45 to go here in quarter number 3. And early on, Bob Jones able to weather the storm of a muffed kick, and next thing you know, they get the missed field goal. They go down the field for 80 yards, get the touchdown, and now it's feeling a little more comfortable for the Patriots here up 21-0.
Yeah, the defense has done a great job several times. Just the last couple of drives, Huntsville has been given a shorter field than you would like. And both times now, they're keeping it limited. Another second and long situation here. And there's been so many series where Bob Jones has forced this backup quarterback, Glover, into a tough situation. And if they can continue to do it, they'll be out of here with an easy win. But I also have to say that we are just winning this battle in the trenches. The defensive line has been in the backfield all night. Our offensive line paving the way, already a buck 50 on the ground plus. Just a great job overall. But we just got to fix some of these inconsistencies. Bob Jones could easily be up 35-42-0 at this point.
A couple of region scores to keep you updated. Hewitt Trustful leads Buckhorn 21-9 at the half. James Clemens 20-2 over Sparkman at the half as well. James Clemens finally getting their first win of the year, not just region win, but a win of the year last week. Handoff goes to Zach Strange. He is followed up as soon as he got the ball. Meeting him in the backfield was Cade Kohler and company. He loses three.
Jay Sean Holly making his fifth tackle of the game, and another tackle for loss for him. He's been back there as well. Can't say enough about the front seven. They are doing some serious damage.
Third down and 13 for the Panthers back at midfield. Three to the left, one to the right, one tailback. Glover rolls to the left. Rolling, rolling, looking, 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 firing down the field. It is just short of his intended receiver, Locklear. A couple of Bob Jones Patriots were there, but he did have some room to give it to him. Well, Mikael Stewart is looking over to Jay Hawthorne and saying, I know you wanted to go light up number three, but we need you in that area.
Yeah, I got to say, I'm very impressed by Glover in this backup role. He has not taken a lot of sacks in this game, which is something that you got to love as a coach. He's not beating you, certainly just one interception on the game. But when he gets to running, the ball comes up pretty short. Several times he's had an open guy and just unable to get the ball to him.
Bruno looked back to kick. A.J. Harris to return back at his own 10-yard line. The punt is a good one. It is high. Fair catch called for by Harris at the 10, and that is where it will be for the Patriots. Just outside the 10, they'll get him the 11-yard line. So this game looks like it's going well for Bob Jones. The region victory would count. Just two teams left in region play that are unbeaten, and it looks like they're going to continue that way. That includes Bob Jones, and that includes Hewitt Trustful, which will be the game coming up in just a couple of weeks for Bob Jones. But hard to believe, we're about to wrap up week five, and there's only two teams unbeaten in region play. Only two teams, and there were only three teams. Excuse me, there was only one team, two teams undefeated overall going into this week, and Bob Jones beat Sparkman to take one of them out. Just a tough region. Two receivers to the right. Jalen Williams stretches it to the right, cuts back up field to the 15, to the 16, to the 17-yard line, gain of six. For Jalen Williams, that will be another carry. He's got to be at 100 yards by now, isn't he?
Yeah, he's getting closer and closer. I believe he is 96 now with that six-yard run. He turned that run into nothing into something there. Put his hand on the back of Ian Ganoush, used that to get a few more yards on the play.
Quick toss to Sam Barnes. He's going to come back up the field to the line of scrimmage he gets. And he had to cut up the field way too quickly. For his liking, went to the line of scrimmage. Could not get to the perimeter, which is where that play has been so dangerous. So third down and four with 4:08 to go here in quarter number three. Patriots 21, Huntsville nothing.
One more score would definitely put this game out of reach. But Bob Jones knows that they can lean on their defense.
Two left, two right, your receiver set. One tailback, Williams is it. He goes to the right of Paulson. Looks, fires deep near side, looking for Demontrez Brown. He's got him, but he's overthrown again. Trouble connecting with number 15 all night tonight for number 10, Brady Polson. That'll be fourth down and four.
Seems like Polson is just either overthrowing it or underthrowing it tonight. It's a tough game, another tough game for him. In a game where you really like to show out in front of the home crowd, but yeah, Mama said there'll be days like this.
Mama said. Fourth and four, they'll put out two receivers, one either side for the Gunners. Bob Jones looks like they're missing somebody on the field. They're calling for him. Play clock down to 8 seconds, as they'll have to send out big number 90, Gavin Lewis. Looks like Bob Jones may just take a timeout here. 2 seconds, 1 second, and they will call a timeout. So as opposed to taking the delay of game and a penalty, it'll be a timeout for the Patriots. So, again, this theme tonight has been Bob Jones has been decent. They've been solid, but they've just been a little lethargic. They've just not been crisp tonight. And it's one of those games that it's not unexpected to see it, that you play down to the level of your opponent like Huntsville is, and that's coming into a Huntsville team that's got a quarterback who is out, Matthew Nowlin, the twin brother of James Clemens' Jackson Nowlin, who is out with a concussion issue tonight. You just would like to see things be a little crisper because Florence is next week, and maybe they're looking ahead to a good Florence team for homecoming because there's a lot to look forward to next week as well. But just not a crisp game so far for Bob Jones.
Yeah, it seems like Bob Jones just really has a tough time getting the running game and the passing game going at the same time. When the running game has really fallen short, Polson has been able to pick up the slack, like in the game against James Clemens or Sparkman. But in a couple of other games, the running game has really had to cover some of his inconsistencies. So going into the second half of the season, that's got to be a big point of emphasis.
Locklear back to receive it is at midfield. Phillips with the punt. This one's a little bit on the line, a little high, but back at his own 48. Locklear tries to make a man miss. He's tackled at the 49 of Bob Jones. So a gain of three for Locklear. Good tackle there for 94, David Foster with the tackle there. And the Patriots will come back on defense. 3:26 on the clock. Huntsville back on the field again offensively and had good field position in this third quarter, just unable to make it count.
Yeah, this Bob Jones defense has done a great job. Only a couple of halfway decent drives for the Panthers in this entire game, and it's because of this linebacker play. They have kept the big plays at a minimum just 3 plays over 10 yards in the entire game.
4 receivers, 3 left, 1 right. Look, throws in the slot. It is deflected. Cade Kohler there is the linebacker. He's looking for Cooper. Again, Will Cooper there in the slot. Stared him down the entire time, but Cade Kohler unfazed. And the team's leading tackler, just the team leading everything, the leader on that defense has been stout tonight.
Cade Kohler is one of those rare guys who can rush extremely well but also cover those speedy receivers across the middle, that time getting his hand in just in time to poke that ball loose and force another second and long.
2 to the left is your receiver set, 2 tailbacks. Glover will hand off to one of those tailbacks. That's Patton. That is Tony Patton, who goes far side. He loses a yard. Far side, that speedy defense over there, able to shut that down. Nothing for the Panthers there, 3rd down and 10.
That's Jayshon Holly. Now he ties Kay Kohler. They both have 6 tackles and 2 tackles for loss each. Haven't been able to catch up to the quarterback so much in this game, but, boy, have they been in the backfield all night long.
The Panthers wearing their road whites come up with 3 receivers to the right and 1 to the left. 3rd down and long at the 47 of Bob Jones. 1 tailback. Formation comes. Gets the snap. Looks left. Floats one to the left. Going over Jaden Hillside. It is caught. Is he inbounds? He is. He is inbounds from the 47 to the 24-yard line. He goes a 23-yard gain as a jump ball thrown immediately. Jaden Hill got his head turned around there, and it's a big gain.
Looks like that was number 11, Stanley Pettis Green, with the big catch. But got to play a little bit smarter if you're Jaden Hill. Kept his back turned for far too long. That ball was up in the air forever.
So it'll be fresh set of downs. And Glover looks to the far side. It is off the fingertips of Jordan Thompson, the junior, who was wide open on that far side. It is incomplete, fortunately for the Patriots, because he had only one guy to beat to try to get to the end zone.
Huntsville's not playing a bad game offensively, but several times they've just been shooting themselves in the foot, wide open guys, missing passes, and that's what gets offenses out of sync so quickly.
2nd and 10 at the 24-yard line. Stoney Patton in as the tailback, 3 receivers out. They'll bring out the brother DeMario Patton, who flanks to the right side. They'll throw it to Patton near side. He gets to the 29, 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. He struggles to get back up to the original line of scrimmage, and it'll be 3rd down and 10.
is Trey Langford stopping her right at the line of scrimmage. Langford already come down for four big tackles right at the line of scrimmage. He's having another great game.
They got that to burst one time, did the Panthers, but since then that side-to-side game has not fooled the Patriots at all tonight. 1:50 to go here in quarter number three. The Patriots 21, the Panthers 0. Region 4 matchup here from Madison City School Stadium. Three to the left, one to the right. Glover looks for Huntsville. It is caught in the slot to the 20 to the 19. Give him the 18-yard line. That's going to be short by about 4 yards. It'll be fourth down, and I can't imagine much of a decision here for the Panthers.
Bob Jones has to be one of the best first two down teams in the entire state. And what I mean by that is they force so many third and longs. But I tell you what, a lot of gains here on third down for Huntsville, and that's concerning.
They spread them out, four receivers to either side, one tailback. Ends up being Stoney Patton. Back of the shotgun he goes. Play clock down to 10, down to 9, down to 8. Asking for the snap, Glover gets it with 6 to play. Fires over the middle, it is. Oh, incomplete. Oh, man, just a little behind Andrew Jansen. But not much better thrown ball tonight than what was just thrown by Jackson Glover. And that is going to be incomplete, and the Patriots take over. Man, that's a heartbreaking drop for Huntsville.
Just another one of those drops. I mean, these are costly, costly drops. And you can tell it's very frustrating to the Huntsville defense having to come out. These guys have not had long to rest the entire night.
If he does not make his way to the end zone, he's tackled inside the 3-yard line. And that is big time for the Patriots, who are only down 20. Excuse me, the Panthers are only down 21-0. Instead, Bob Jones empties the formation and looks for a throw near side to Montrezl Brown. He's got it to the 20, tackled at the 22-yard line, make it the 23. That's a gain of 5 from number 10 to number 15.
Brady Polson has been a little more level-headed in the second half. He's made a couple of plays to Brown and threw that nice little 2-point conversion to Makai. Like to see more.
Three to the right, none to the left. They'll stretch it to the left. Coming near side and running out of bounds, Isaiah Hatchett. There was absolutely nothing there. He does get a yard and a half, maybe. Get up to the 25-yard line. So about a yard and a half on that carry. But there was just not much room near side.
I'd like to see Bob Jones complete a play across the middle of the field. A lot of their plays are going to the sideline, almost 100%. You cannot spread a defense out that way.
30 seconds left in the third quarter. Bob Jones gives Isaiah Hatchett to the 30, falls forward to the 30. That's enough for a first down. He needed 3, he got 5, and it'll be a big first down for the Patriots. So another big carry for Isaiah Hatchett, who was brought in last week to sort of be a Brad Anderson replacement, because Brad Anderson is the speedy back for Bob Jones. And since he has been absent with injury and limited because of injury, they've needed a speedy back. Jalen Williams, more of a power back. It's got some moves, but the breakaway stuff belongs to number 9. Bob Jones looks like they're not in any hurry. The difference between the play clock and the game clock itself is close, 7, 6, 5. It's going to be really close. It's going to go to the fourth quarter, and it will be a Bob Jones 21-0 lead as we switch sides of the field. We'll go to the fourth quarter. Bob Jones leads Huntsville 21-0. You're listening to Bob Jones Patriots on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Up, brought to you by Tennessee Valley Fence. You'll love us around your place.
Back to the booth we go with Arky Shea and Seth Hagan. Bob Jones football is on the ump.
Back live here at Madison City School Stadium. Arky Shea here, Seth Hagan over there, bringing you live coverage on the ump of Bob Jones football. 3-1 on the season, 2-0 in region play. Only one of two teams in Bob Jones region, which is region 4, to be unbeaten in region play. So that's a big deal for the Patriots, as they look like they're about on their way to keeping that going, which will be huge because Florence is an out-of-region game next week. And then, of course, the schedule does get pretty interesting, as Hewitt Trustful will be that big road game, the only other team that's right now unbeaten in region play. And the last saw was leading Buckhorn 21-9 at the half. So Bob Jones switches sides of the field to go left to right. Got a first down and 10. a fresh set of downs for a fresh quarter. As the Patriots lead 21-0. They'll put three receivers to the right. Cameron Cobb-Williams comes in motion. They pop it to him, and then a quick handoff goes to Isaiah Hatcher, who gets to the 35-yard line. A little bit of a funky play there. Gets 5 yards. I'm not 100% sure that's the way it was supposed to go, but it worked out well enough for 5 yards.
Yeah, it looks like Paulson had a really split-second decision to make right there. Saw that Cabo Williams was about to get lit up, and at the last second, tossed a hatchet. Real smart play there by the senior QB.
One receiver right, one receiver left, one tail back. Everybody else, call him on the line. Jalen Williams near side to the 40, run over for man to the 45-yard line, to the 46, to the 45 is what they'll give him. They should give him the 46. He's sitting on the 46-yard line right now for crying out loud. 10-yard gain for Jalen Williams. That should put him over 100 for the night.
It should. It should. It does. Jalen Williams got that 100 yards. Now he's headed back to the sideline. We'll see if he comes back in, back in this fourth quarter. Definitely want to get Hatchett some runs as well. He's been playing very well, just about six carries, but already over 60 yards.
Four receivers split either side. Isaiah Hatchett, the tailback, behind Brady Polson. Clock winding down. 11 minutes to go in the game. Quick toss to Mekhi Stewart, who came in motion, spinning around a whole bunch of defenders, but stuck at the line of scrimmage. He is. That's nothing there. Good job defensively by the Panthers.
Stewart saw that the play was getting blown up. Decided to try to cut inside, but was met by a host of Panther defenders. Probably could have broke it out to the outside, but I can see why he would cut back in. That was just a good play on defense by the Panthers.
Seven of the last nine plays for Bob Jones have been on the ground. Can't imagine being too different trying to kill that clock. Miscommunication. Brady Pulse is going to have to keep this one back to the line of scrimmage. He goes. Miscommunication in the backfield as Brady Pulse was looking to his left to hand off. Not going to his left was Jalen Williams there. Went to his right, and to save face, Brady Pulse kept it, got back to the line of scrimmage.
He's had a rough night, and he's going to have to pull himself out of it right here. Bob Jones may just look to run the ball, though.
Third down and 10. Patriots, no hurry here. Two to the left, two to the right. Jalen Williams, your tailback. Huntsville playing that 3-4 defense. Got four linebackers on right now. Near side, pass comes. Sam Barnes caught it at the 45. That's right at the first down marker. Give him the 44. That's a catch of 11. He needed 10. He got 11. And again, for the Patriots, getting a little bit more than they needed. Big first down.
Yeah, that was nice. Right back in it. Third quarter, he had a very similar play where he had to sneak it in the window to DeMontrez Brown. Brady Polson, great throw right there.
Looking back to the sideline, Polson gets his call. Imagine a whole lot more running going on the rest of this way if they can keep it in the positive territory. Williams tries to make a man miss. He can't. He's wrapped up in the backfield. That's a big tackle. That is Malik Ford, the senior defensive lineman, big 58. They're all over Jalen Williams. Give him nothing on it.
He's a big linebacker. We have not heard his name called a whole lot tonight. Credit the offensive line for getting to the second level on a lot of these plays and opening big holes for Bob Jones' running game.
Second down and 10. The Patriots put three of their receivers to the left. They're on the near hash mark. Sam Barnes is your near side receiver. Hatchett the tailback. They Hatchett getting a lot of work as a junior. Fake toss. It goes to Isaiah Hatchett inside. Make a couple men miss. He gets to the 30, to the 25, the 20. There's some of that speed. Wrapped up at the 15-yard line. There's a flag back at the 41-yard line. If it stands, it's a 28-yard carry, but it does not look like it will. We'll see what the call. Thrown right in the middle of that offensive line, and it is a holding, and it will come back.
Looks like it's on Tucker Walters. A guy who made a position change, we mentioned earlier on in the program. And, boy, that's tough right there because it was a really pretty cutback by Hatchett to pull the double-digit play. But
so make it a little bit more difficult for the Patriots. It'll be instead of second down and 10, or more importantly, first down and awesome back inside the 20, it'll be second down and 20 at the 44-yard line of their own. So they have to get to the 34-yard line of Huntsville to get a first down.
It's time for Brady Polson. Needs to step up. 8:24 to go in this game. You haven't had much going on. You need to nail one of these accurate balls down the field.
Kevin Rose asking for some clarification on the call itself, which is a delay in the game right now. Looks like we're about ready to play. Patriots just one receiver left, one to the right. Here comes the stretch play to Jalen Williams. He gets to the 50, to the 40, to the 35. It's green grass in front of him. Jalen Williams needed 20 for a first down. He said, how about I get you 56? Touchdown, Patriots.
We'll take it, Juicy. We'll take it every time as he shoots over a 150 for the night and his second touchdown.
Touchdown run for Jalen Juicy Williams. Gives the Patriots a 27-0 lead with the extra point pending.
Boy, that was just a gigantic hole. And once again, that matchup with Kendall Randolph and Mac Reagan, that's just money. That's just money. You could go there all night, and it would be, even if you load up the box, it's so tough to stop those two guys who will definitely be playing on Saturdays in the future.
Extra point up, and extra point is good. The Bob Jones Patriots take a 28-0 lead with 8:12 to go here in the fourth quarter. We're going to take a quick timeout when we come back. Bob Jones to kick the Huntsville here on The Ump, brought to you by Tennessee Valley Fence. You'll love us around your place.
Back to live coverage of Bob Jones football on The Ump.
We are back live here in Madison, Alabama, as the Patriots are leading the Huntsville Panthers 28-0. The clock shows 8:12 to go, and Ian Karowski comes on to kick for the Bob Jones Patriots. They'll kick from that far hash mark, which we've seen a ton of pooch kicks kicked from, and it looks like that is how he is lined up to kick this one. At best, a squib, we'll see. From Karowski as he gets set to kick. This one is a squib near side. It goes to 10 yards. Bob Jones able to touch it. It's going to be recovered by Huntsville, but Bob Jones was in perfect position to be able to grab that one and recover it. It went to 10 yards if needed to, but big recovery again. We haven't called his name a bunch, but 58 doing work again, and that's Malik Ford with the recovery.
That was a tough play right there. Cam Pugh had it. I mean, the ball went right in his hands. Unable to grab it right there. That was a masterful kick. Karowski really towed the line on that one.
First down and 10 for the Panthers at their own 48-yard line. As the Panthers do have all three timeouts, but down 28-0. Four receivers set out, three to the right, one to the left, set up on the near hash mark. One tailback. Glover, who's in a tough position tonight, throws this one. It is nearly caught by number one, Demario Patton, but he was almost nearly sacked as a giant play from Trey Langford, who was going over the back of someone trying to block him. I think that was brother Stoney Patton who was trying to block him, and he at least affected the throw, which is the good number one.
Yeah, Langford hobbles off the field, but boy, what an athletic play. You're right, he leaped over the defensive lineman, Talik Curtin, and almost came away with the game's first sack.
Second down and 10. Three to the right, one to the left. Quick throw over to Patton on the far sideline. DeMario is going to be able to spin away from a defender, but not from a second, as Cade Kohler knocks him down at the 49-yard line. That's a gain of four. Keep you updated on Buckhorn and Hewitt Trussell right now. Buckhorn at the end of the third quarter. Buckhorn trails Hewitt Trussell 34-15, so it looks like Hewitt Trussell is on the way to staying perfect in region play and overall. High in that matchup with Bob Jones in 2 weeks. Two to the right, two to the left on third down and six. Glover gets it, looks, rolls right, fires on the back foot. It is incomplete. Out of bounds. The fourth down and six. Clock shows 7:05 to go here in the fourth quarter. The Patriots up 28-0. And good job in the backfield by the Bob Jones defense to hold, because he had a long time to try to find somebody.
Yeah. It was good protection by Huntsville's offensive line, who is a very upperclassman-laden group, but Bob Jones just too much right now. They've been all been in the backfield since the snap.
Fourth and six at the 48. Need to get to the 42-yard line of Bob Jones to continue the drive. Three to the left, one to the right. Glover looks near side, throws over the middle. It is too high for DeMario Patton, and that will be a turnover on downs. The Bob Jones will take over. You wonder here at this point if the Bob Jones Patriots will start putting in some backups. It looks like they will start putting in some backups. And it does look like the case for some, maybe not all, as Kendall Randolph is still coming out there. Brady Polson's still out there. Actually, none of the backups ran. I'm a little surprised about that. It looked like coming on, there was a couple players, including number 85, Wesley Burcham, who was coming out, but maybe just being a fan of his team. First down at 10 at the 48 of their own is the Patriots, up 28-0, 7 even on the clock here in the fourth quarter. Two tailbacks, one receiver. He goes to Hatchett, cuts back inside to the 50, and that'll be where he stood up. At midfield, a gain of two for Isaiah Hatchett.
Boy, and that's with a completely stacked box. That time, Huntsville with nine guys right on the line of scrimmage, and they were ready for that. Bob Jones looking lucky to get any on that play.
Hatchett remains the lone tailback in. Three receivers are now set up for the Patriots. Paulson with the snap, back to Hatchett again. Met at the line of scrimmage, and he gets maybe another half a yard with third down and long.
I know you're trying to run the clock out, but I really would like to see Brady Polson get a few more throws just to work himself a little bit more into a rhythm. This is a guy that you're going to need in the second half of the season, and especially once the playoffs happen. But Bob Jones, I'll say this for him. If one side of their offense gets taken out, the second side steps up every single time.
Third down and eight. Three receivers to the right, one to the left. It's Jalen Williams back in as the tailback. Blakelock down to 10, down to 9, down to 8. Gets the snap a little early. Pump fake over the near sidelines. Got Mekhi Stewart wide open at the 20, to the 15, to the 10, to the 5. How about the throw you wanted? 50 yards from Brady Polson to Mekhi Stewart, and that's going to make the stat sheet look a little bit nicer.
Yeah, over 100 yards now on the day for Polson. It's been slow, but a really nice throw right there, and a great play overall. Nothing more that you love to see as a coach and as an offensive coordinator than a wide-open guy at the end of the field, and an easy touchdown. So Bob Jones ending this one here on a really nice high note.
5:36 on the clock. Waiting the extra point attempt. Ian Karaski up. Ball is fumbled. Phillips going to try to run with this one, and he's going to be tackled back at the 20. So no good for the extra point or the two-point conversion, and it'll be 34-0. 5:36 on the clock. Take a timeout. We'll come back. You're listening to Bob Jones Patriots Football on The Ump, brought to you by Tennessee Valley Fence. You'll love us around your place.
Now back to Bob Jones Football on The Ump.
Welcome back in Madison City School Stadium. We are, as the Patriots have taken a resounding 34-0 lead. Clock shows 5.5 minutes to go. And, you know, really, Seth, this has been, with a few explosive plays, it's been, as we've talked about, a lethargic game. But we keep talking about the lethargic game. At the end of the day, it's 34-0 with 5.5 minutes to go. If this is what your lethargy looks like, it's not a bad lethargic to have.
Yeah, especially when you're breaking out so many big plays in the second half. Already we've seen a run for 50-plus yards, another run for 40-plus, and now that 50-yard-plus touchdown pass. It's tough to kind of grind out those you know, 2 or 3 yard runs, but you have to know that you're slowly chipping away at this defense's ability to stop you.
Grassy comes with a pooch kick near side. It goes out of bounds. So So it'll be good field position for the Panthers up to the 40-yard line. And so the clock will show 5:36. Technically, still three timeouts left for Clint Woodfin's group at Huntsville. So some time to try to do something to not only give your team some confidence, but obviously to, you know, feel a little bit better going into next week, because at this point, do not know if their starting quarterback, Matthew Nallen, is going to be back next week after the concussion issue. But it would be interesting to note for them, because Huntsville coming up still has Columbia next week and then Sparkman before they go into Ed James Clemens and Ed Hewitt Trussell. So still some big games for them on the schedule. Four receivers. One comes in motion. It'll be a quarterback keeper up the middle to the 36-yard line. They'll get about a yard. With second down and nine.
I don't think I've ever seen a quarterback keeper where he slides right at the line of scrimmage. That was quick. That hole closed quickly for Bob Jones. And there's a bunch of second-teamer guys out there, guys getting their first look at action tonight.
Yes, and defensively for the Patriots. They brought Jordan Thompson in motion to Huntsville to bring him in again, but they won't give it to him. They'll again try to give it to number 10, Stoney Patton, who's back to the line of scrimmage, and that's it. Just nothing offensively for Huntsville on the ground, and that's being pleasant.
It's a big point of pride to shut a team out, especially a division opponent. Bob Jones knows that they're going to have to lean on their defense in situations later on in the year when the offense hiccups. So really nice to know that you can hold a team to really nothing there.
Third down and 10. Looks like Gavin Lynch jumps offside. Gavin Lewis, I should say, jumps offside. And there'll be third down and 5 for the Patriots. Excuse me, for the Panthers. Defensively for the Patriots. And Gavin Lewis just came on for that play. Now he's going to come right back off. I guess if you jump offside to make it easier for him, not the hardest decision for the coaches to bring you right back off. Third and 5. Looking deep is Glover. One-on-one coverage. Well overthrown. Flag is on the play late.
Wow.
And that is a bit of a surprise. It's thrown in the area where it could be pass interference or holding, but that ball was so uncatchable.
Man, I'll give it to him. The defensive back definitely shielded the wide receiver from the ball, but I mean, there's no way that you're catching that, even if you're unguarded.
That was 15 yards beyond the receiver.
Yeah.
And that's what they're going to call pass interference on the Patriots. I mean, you could feel as bad as you want for that when it's going to go 15 yards against the team in red. But that is just, I don't know, inexplicable over there, that call. I do not know why that even gets called. And it's Aquarius Pelmer over there who gets the call against him. Just strange calling there. It'll be first down and 10, though, at the 44-yard line. 34-0, Patriots on top, 4:23 on the clock. Quarter number 4, 2 receivers left, 2 to the right. Glover looking, fires over the middle. It is caught at the 27. He's got some space to the 15, to the 10. He is wrapped up at the 10-yard line, as that was Locklear with the big catch and the biggest play of the night so far for the Huntsville Panthers, puts them in first and goal territory.
It's a good job by Sam Morin, guy we don't get to call out a lot. Really made a nice tackle, taking the legs out of the receiver on that play. Cassius Locklear.
High formation looks like the setup. Under center goes Glover. One tailback, one fullback. It'll be a handoff to Patton. He goes to the right side, inside the 10, inside the 5, to the 4-yard line, maybe the 3. So a big 7-yard carry there for Patton, who goes second down and goal from the 3-yard line. Good power for the Panthers' right side, but you are looking, as you mentioned, a lot of second-teamers in there for the Patriots. Second down and goal, 3-yard line. We are 3:38 and counting on the clock. Another I formation set up again. Patton tries to bowl his way into the end zone. He is short at the 1-yard line. Third and goal. Huntsville just wanting to get on the board.
Yeah, you know they've
been close a couple of times. Missed a field goal earlier in the quarter, in the third quarter, I should say, early. Just love to get some confidence points here.
Yeah, you won't see a field goal here. They're going for 7. They need 7 right here.
Third and goal at the 1. The power formation set up again. Another time to Stoney. He is in. dives into the end zone, touchdown Huntsville. And the Panthers take their first points on the board as Stoney Patton, the sophomore, gets the first points for the Panthers, and it makes it 34-6 with 3:08 to go here in quarter number four.
This was an important drive, an important play for Huntsville, even though it was aided by a very interesting, shall we say, pass interference call. But Huntsville needed a little bit of momentum going into next week, and they found it right here.
Going for two with two receivers to the right, one to the left, one man in motion. Across the formation he goes, and they'll roll right side. Try to roll him right side. Throw outside is deflected, incomplete, and that will be no good. And it'll be 34-6 with 3:08 to go here in the fourth quarter. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, the final 3 minutes of action here from Madison as the Patriots lead Huntsville 34-6. You're listening to Bob Jones Football on the Ump. Brought to you by Tennessee Valley Fence. You'll love us around your place.
Back to the booth we go with Arky Shea and Seth Hagan. Bob Jones Football is on the Ump.
Back live, 3:06 to go for the fourth quarter play as the Patriots lead 34-6 on for a, looks like a onside attempt. I wouldn't be surprised if they did. Jackson Bruno, the junior, has had his share of work cut out for him, at least from the punting game, for a second kick of the night. This one will be kicked deep to A.J. Harris, who catches at the 28, spins away to the 30, to the 31-yard line, and bottled up there. So surprised they didn't go for the onside there, but they may be just sort of looking at this as a fourth-down game with 3 minutes and saying, not really the necessary at this point.
No, no.
To try to put our guys in maybe a little extra danger with that headhunting type play.
Yeah, this is what we like to call garbage time. Keep it safe during garbage time. This thing's over. Let's just get it out of things safe and look forward to next week, because Florence is they're a tough team. And after that, Hewitt Trustful, even tougher.
Patriots do start bringing in some backups, including John Riley as the quarterback. He's in shotgun, gets a snap to the left. He's going to just keep that one running to the left, to the 40, to the 45, to the 50, to the 45, to the 44-yard line. It was just an errant snap that kept him from doing the handoff like he wanted it to. And next thing you know, he's down the field for 21 yards.
Ended up being the best thing for him. It cleared out the entire left side of the field. Good instincts there by Riley, finding the spot and getting the nice big play.
To the 44-yard line it goes. Be first down and 10. The clock winds under 3 minutes to go. Stay tuned for the Bob Jones post-game show. We'll give you some final numbers, and we'll tell you our drive of the game and our player of the game. You may not be surprised who actually gets player of the game. That's cutting back inside. Number 27, Martin McCoy, the 5'7", 165 junior, gets to the 41-yard line. That's a gain of 7, maybe 8. Another big-time carry there for the Patriots. And now they're looking at backups in almost completely across the board.
Yeah, a lot of new
still
guys.
A couple of starting linemen in there, including that looks like 62 is still in, who is Colby Morrill, who gets a lot of playing time as well. Second down and 8. Excuse me, second down and 2 after the gain of 8. 3 to the left, 1 to the right receiver. Back again to the right side comes Martin McCoy to the line of scrimmage, maybe 1. Third down and 1.
That was a tough play right there. Good tackle, though, by number 48, Blaine Hyde, junior linebacker for Huntsville. That was a sure first down, and he made a great tackle in space.
Third down and 1 at the 35. Clock under a minute 35, a minute 34, a minute 33, and counting. All the timeouts staying in everyone's pockets. Patriots just trying to eat this one up. Get out of this one clean and ready for next week's homecoming game against Florence. And off again goes to McCoy. Gets to the 30, first down to the 25. Don't think he doesn't want an end zone. Bowls over a man to the 15. He's thrown forward to the 11-yard line. They give him the 14, but he went forward to the 11. You really should be able to get credit for being thrown an extra 3 yards.
I would agree with that. I don't know why they don't tack on that extra little bit, but good run by the junior right there. The right side, left side have all been clicking, but now it's the backups for Bob Jones really moving the pile. Got Jared Harrison there, the sophomore offensive lineman, He is manning right guard at this moment. Pardon me, he's manning right tackle.
First and 10 inside the 15 to the 14, 56 seconds remaining. 5 seconds, 4 seconds. Bob Jones still staying in a huddle. Looks like the Patriots will take a timeout here, and they will stop the clock with 46 seconds to go. So just a couple thoughts from you, Seth, on the performance of Bob Jones in this game overall.
I got to say, the line of scrimmage was won tonight by Bob Jones for the entire night. I know that Huntsville got that last score, but they have just been running it up. 5 tackles for loss for the defense, including an interception. 4 turnovers on downs forced as well. And then on the other side, offensive line paving the way for this run game, over 250 yards on the night. And that's something that they really needed, because Brady Paulson really didn't get into his groove at all until the fourth quarter.
That's a good point. Not much of a groove at all for him until you get that 50-yard touchdown pass to Mekhi Stewart. When you got busted coverage and he's wide open, it's hard to miss on that one. Mm-hmm.
Number 70, Art Allen, now manning the left tackle spot. Beside him, Colby Morrell, left guard.
Two to the left, one to the right is your receivers, and one tailback. Shotgun formation by Riley, and Riley's just going to take this one and take a knee back at the 21-yard line. I'm about to do it one more time before they can call it quits here from Madison City School Stadium from the 21-yard line. But an impressive performance. Impressive indeed. We will, as I said, when we do come back, we will take a 2-minute timeout and come back and give you the final numbers that are important for you and give you our final segment, which we'll preview next week against Florence as well. Another knee take to the 26-yard line, and that will be all she wrote. Too bad for John Riley, as he lost about half the yards he gained basically by taking a knee and killing the game.
Poor guy.
So we will take a 2-minute timeout. When we come back, our final segment gives you our player of the game, gives you our drive of the game, and get you ready for Florence and Bob Jones for homecoming next week. You're listening to Bob Jones Patriots Football on the Ump, exclusively brought to you by Tennessee Valley Fence. You'll love us around your place.
Back to live coverage of Bob Jones Football on the Ump.
Welcome back to the Bob Jones post-game show, brought to you by me. Actually, no, brought to you by Tennessee Valley Fence, also Woody Anderson Ford, and our good friend Stephen McDaniel of Keller Williams Realty Group here in Huntsville. So our player of the game, I can't really find a feasible guy to give it to than number 35, Jalen Williams, who had 72 yards in the first half and another 81 in the second half en route for a couple of touchdowns, and he will be your player of the game, brought to you by Stephen McDaniel and the Keller Williams Realty Group here in Huntsville.
Yeah, Juicy had the juice all night and found a lot of holes made by his offensive line. You could just as easily give them the MVP for this game as well, because they were opening holes. And, I mean, over 250 yards rushing once again for this offensive line, completely covering another inconsistent game for Brady Paulson. So really, really good job by Jalen and the entire offensive line, and Isaiah Hatchett as well. I believe he had over 70 yards. So always really good when you can get your big guys running like that.
That yards per game for the Patriots for offensively running the ball will increase after this week. Your drive of the game brought to you by Woody Anderson Ford, located on Hughes Road in Madison. It's less of a drive, more of a play by Demontrez Brown, who had a first and 18 to go from the 26-yard line. And instead of getting 6, 7, 8 yards here to try to get him back toward the line of scrimmage, the original line of scrimmage, he decided to go 26 and get a big touchdown for number 15, the 6'2", 190-pound receiver slash tight end. So that being your drive of the game, brought to you by Woody Anderson Ford, located on Hughes Road in Madison. So let's talk about next week. Next week is homecoming, and that's a big week for everybody. A good Florence team that'll be coming into town, but not to mention also good talent on that team, including an Alabama commit but more importantly, trying to get away from the distractions of homecoming. You talk about what's coming up for the Patriots. Florence next week with homecoming on that week, and then the big game that everybody's talking, we'll be talking about, Hewitt Trustful on the road in 2 weeks. Can Bob Jones focus this next week and get ready for the Florence Falcons? That will be key. Focus this week at practice.
Yeah, they have to focus and just not look ahead in this schedule. You know, that already burned them earlier on this year. And as long as they can stay focused, everything should be good, and we're going to have a whale of a matchup in a couple of weeks. But hope everybody has fun at homecoming this week. It's always something that I treasure about high school, just, you know, the different outfits that you get to wear and the themes throughout the week.
Yeah, let's play Redneck Day. Or
it's going to be fun.
Pajama Day, or I don't even know what they have nowadays.
Yeah, like
dress like Nelly Day?
No.
That can't be right.
Maybe that'll help his IRS situation.
Seth Hagen, final thoughts on tonight's game?
Well, a great game overall. Defense held up until we sent the starters out. Same thing for the offense, dominating the line of scrimmage. And we're just still waiting on this Bob Jones offense to be clicking on all cylinders. When the running game is going, the pass game isn't. When the running game isn't going, the pass picks up the slack. So I really want to see a good combined effort next week for Florence before we have another top 10 matchup against Hewitt Trustful. But I really liked what I saw tonight, especially from the front seven. Just a ton of tackles for loss and tackles right there at the line of scrimmage. It was a very dominating performance in the trenches tonight for the Patriots.
Looking for that very key, very important full game. Getting into the fourth quarter, Hewitt Trustful leads Buckhorn now 34-23, being told from the command center. So Hewitt Trustful still seems like they're on their way to staying unbeaten overall, and that also means unbeaten in region play. Bob Jones and Hewitt Trustful, the only two teams unbeaten in region play as of this moment. But right now, you got to focus on Florence, and that's a really good football team that'll be coming in for homecoming. Went in last week to Brawley Municipal Stadium in Florence last year, I should say, and were able to get a big victory there last year, bringing them back. It's going to be a big non-region game, so not as much pressure as far as keeping the region record up. But if you want momentum, momentum's only as good as you are that week. So Bob Jones will look to continue that in just 1 week. So Bob Jones and Florence coming up next week. But before we let you go, final score here. The Bob Jones Patriots beat the Huntsville Panthers 34-6. For Seth Hagen, for Mike Rose, for Archie Shea, for everybody involved, for Frank Williams from Landers McClarty, for Coach Whitney, for everybody that's been a part of this broadcast, thank you so much for being aboard. Next week against Florence, coverage starts at 6:30 on the Ump right here from Madison City School Stadium. Have a great night. Bob Jones, a winner tonight, 34-6. Have a great night. Go Bob Jones.
Take care, everybody.